This is episode number 7 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of December 31st, 2007. Coming up on today's show, we have this week's distractions, our favorite portable and downloadable games of the year, and our special Game of the Year segment. Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 7.
Lucky number 7.
This is the Game of the Year episode, guys. This is the, if all editing goes okay, this will be released on New Year's Eve. So, just in time.
So you guys can listen to it while you're getting all sloppy.
Sloppy drunk? I'll be sloppy drunk, maybe. Anyway.
Sloppy sober.
My name is Chris, and I am here with Jason.
Hey.
And Jeff.
What's going on?
How's it going, Jason?
I'm doing pretty good, man. My son's in town. I'm always excited for that.
Oh, that's right.
It's a little disheartening this time around because, you know, the guy's getting older. He's 14 now, and he's showing me up in Rock Band something fierce. He's playing on expert and on guitar, and he's already on hard on drums, and I'm like, dude. It's crazy. Oh,
He's all grown up.
Yeah.
Yeah, watch out for those kids, man.
Sweet. I'm proud of him, but, you know, at the same time, I want to kick his ass.
I thought the times when your son starts beating you doesn't come until your late 30s.
Yeah, shut up. I'm getting there, too.
Hey, I'm a year ahead of you, remember?
That's true.
Jeff, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Holidays are over, stress-free, and yeah, now it's back to work time, yes!
Woohoo!
Yeah, boo.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, not doing well. I mean, I'm doing well. Not too bad is what I wanted to say. Woo!
It's been a slack-ass week at work, though.
It has been.
I think Chris left
worked
like a half hour early today for happy hour.
Hell yeah, man. No. I want to explain that. Our boss was okay with that. He was like, we were okay. Steve and Steph and I, my boss and one of my coworkers and I, were all in a design meeting, and he's like, oh yeah, that's right. Today's Thursday, happy hour, and he goes, man, hope it gets here quick. And I was like, you know, we could always leave early. And he's like, that's a good idea. So we all left like a half an hour early to go to happy hour.
Not bad.
So you just instigated it. I gotcha.
Yeah.
You're that guy.
That's right.
You were the idea man.
Everyone likes that guy though.
Yeah, because he gets you drinks earlier.
Exactly. Right.
You're the enabler.
I am.
Hope someone bought you a drink.
No, nobody bought me a drink.
Well, fuck
I can
them.
Hear Jeff drinking, though.
Jeff told me before we started that he was drinking a Coors.
I am drinking Coors Light this week, yeah.
The Wolf
had to
Coors.
Go with the Coors, and like I wanted a light beer. I'm like, I don't know what to get. Can't go wrong with Coors Light for a light beer.
The Silver Bullet.
That's right. Also brought to you by Molson.
This week's Interactive Distractions is brought to you by Coors! Anyway.
Oh, man.
All right.
Jason, what's distracting you from real life this week?
Very little. With Christmas and everything, you don't get a ton of time to play games, especially if you're going out to see family and whatnot, so... I'm still hitting Rock Band heavily. God, I love that game.
I couldn't tell. Not even in the
what, 7 consecutive weeks?
Yeah, something like that.
The second episode was you got, We're Gonna Rock.
Okay, yeah.
So, ever since then, yeah, pretty much.
I'm nothing if not consistent. I got some new downloads for it, though. I got Buddy Holly and my Iron Lung and Brass in Pocket today. They're all pretty good. The drumming isn't best. I think Brass in Pocket is the most fun one, even though it's kind of easy, but it changes it up a lot.
Well, Buddy Holly's a really easy song from all fronts, really.
Very song. I think I, like, first time through on hard, I hit 99%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it wasn't that challenging at all. If I could do that, shit.
But it's just a fun song, anyway.
Yeah. I did some stress relieving with Unreal Tournament 3.
Nice.
It's a fun game to just pop in and just blow the shit out of people and be done with it. Feel good about yourself. Other than that, seriously, that's been my gaming week right there.
So a pretty slow week.
Very slow.
I have a feeling with the holidays it's going to be like that with all of us, huh?
Yeah,
most likely.
Try and make up for it, though.
Next week we'll be busy. Mm-hmm. Jeff, how about you, man?
Yeah, I'm kind of the same boat as Jay. Didn't really play too much. I expected to play actually a lot, just because it was Christmas and
I bought a few games.
I bought a few games for family members and stuff. I bought my girlfriend Knights, Journey into Dreams.
Nice.
Hoping to give that a shot. Didn't even touch it.
Oh, man. I was hoping to hear something about it.
Next week for sure. All
right, cool.
I also bought my dad Mario Galaxy, and I didn't even touch that either, which is also surprising because I was at my parents' house for a good majority of Christmas Day before we had to take off to my sister's place, so I didn't get to try that. He also got Happy Feet. Didn't touch that because I didn't want to.
Because we'd kick you off the show.
Exactly. It's no strawberry shortcake, let me tell you.
73%, man, I'm telling you. Not so a bad score.
Mostly just playing PSP again, same games, kind of chug along and all those. I did, however, get Uncharted for Christmas. Well, kind of for Christmas. No one actually bought it for me.
It was a Christmas present to yourself.
It was for myself. I was like, you know what? No one bought it for me. Screw this. I'm going to go buy it.
That's okay, and Jeff. You can do that.
Yeah. I deserve it. I mean, come on.
Damn,
I'm going to do that with Warhack later.
Yeah, it doesn't matter the other 13 gifts I bought myself before Christmas, but hey, this is the one.
Oh,
that
screw that. This is different.
I kind of bought myself Mass Effect like a month ago for Christmas.
Funny how that works out, huh? The amount of times I walk out looking to do Christmas shopping and I end up buying crap for myself. Get home and people are like, hey, so what did you buy your family? I'm like, oh, shit. I'll be right back.
What? Why would I buy? Oh, Christmas.
Son of a bitch. Okay.
Somebody's birthday or something?
All right, so how are you liking Uncharted then?
I can honestly say I knew our Game of the Year edition was coming up, and I always knew Uncharted would be in the running, but I wasn't really going to take it. Like, I only played the demo, and I knew it was a good game for PS3, and everyone's praising it, you know, calling it, like, one of the best games ever, and a lot of the people that were saying this were people who primarily played PS3, so I thought nothing of it. I was like, oh, here comes another, like, over but underhyped PS3 game, but I can honestly say now this is the hardest decision I've made to do my whole Game of the Year, because it is a legitimate Game of the Year candidate, like, for real. It's awesome. It's one thing that I can't believe people aren't talking about it as much are the graphics, because it is awesome.
I agree.
Like Chris, when you were talking about it, saying how you love the lighting and all that stuff, and how the graphics are just really, like, the intricate details and stuff like that were amazing. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, okay, well, I played the demo. I didn't find the lighting all that good. And I remember saying that Assassin's Creed had better lighting. But after playing through the first few chapters, I'm like, holy shit, this is some of the best lighting I've ever seen, ever.
Yeah,
like,
me too.
It's amazing. Like, it is great in Assassin's Creed as well, but Assassin's Creed is pretty much the same environments over and over again. Whereas this, it's just a whole bunch of different kinds of environments, and the lights coming through the trees and reflecting off Drake's clothing and stuff, and the way it kind of shimmers if you get wet, it just blew me away. How his shirt actually wrinkles up in places where his body bends, like, realistically. Like, I don't know if you guys noticed that.
Yeah, no,
that's,
I
like,
do.
Awesome. Like, holy shit, that's pretty damn detailed. The textures polish. Look awesome. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, one of the things that I really like, this, just to go real quick through lighting, is that there's the point on, I think in Chapter 2, there's an area where you light this huge lantern, and you set a fire in it. And it's got, like, all these intricate etchings on it and, like, the just carvings throughout the wood. And it's showing all of that on all the walls.
Yeah.
You know, and it's flickering and doing all that. And you can tell it's not just, like, pasted there. You know, you can tell that it's actually real-time rendering all that stuff. It's pretty impressive.
Oh, yeah. It's very impressive. Not only was I like, this is the best PS3 game I've ever seen, hands down. It's probably the best-looking console game I've ever played. And that's saying a lot, because I'm a huge Gears of War fan, and Gears of War looks great in terms of graphics, and they both look really good. And they both look differently good in their own kind of way. So if you're supposed to choose one or the other for which the reigning console, like, graphic-wise, which one is number one, it would basically come down to art style. Do you like big, bulky dudes and kind of, like, dark areas, you know, kind of murky environments, or you want, like, this bright, colorful kind of look and more realistic looking kind of environments. But yeah, it's definitely looks really damn good. Plays really well. The platforming is pretty much flawless. I haven't had too many problems with it. I mean, every platforming game, you should have problems with certain parts. You should jump and miss something, and you should get frustrated, but that's just the game teaching you how to play the game properly. So I don't find anything wrong with that. Like, sure, there was a couple times I was, like, jumping just get to certain places, and I'd miss and die, and be like, oh, okay. Like, one of the early chapters, you have to swing from a vine to grab a ledge. And I didn't realize you actually can actually climb up or down the vine as well. So, like, why am I keep missing that ledge? It's right there. Then I realized I have to move up the vine a little bit first before I start swinging on it to be able to grab it. So, that was kind of cool. The shooting thing I complained about in the demo is 100% in the full retail game. And I realize it's not a problem that it's not realistic when you shoot them. My biggest complaint is the pistol and the machine gun and the Uzi are exactly the same in terms of damage. They have different firing rates, but no. Sorry, go ahead, Chris.
No, they're not. I have to disagree with
they
you there.
Totally are. Try this. When you have a person...
Well, here's what I'm going to say. The pistol, like the pistol you start out with, takes 3 shots to kill someone, right?
Yeah, roughly, yeah.
If you do single shots with the first machine gun you pick up, I think it's AK-47, it takes 4 shots. So the machine gun is actually less powerful.
It's actually less powerful, yeah.
Right.
But same time, when you're point blank with somebody with a pistol, you can shoot them like 3 or 4 times. They drop. If you hit them in the head, they drop once. That's the only thing that stays consistent through like all the guns. But if you have the assault rifle, point blank at someone, you're unloading an entire cartridge. It doesn't kill them. They can still take like a million hits because I think only, like I said, the thing I noticed before is it seems like the first bullet registers as a hit, and then they go through the animation, and then it won't register the next hit until the animation's finished. So you're sitting there unloading on a guy. Point blank, and looks on screen like he's taking 1,000,001 hits, but he's really only taking 2, and then he dies undercover, and you're like, ah, shit. So it's like, it basically comes down to, I'll use the assault rifle when I know there's going to be a lot of guys, because then you can just kind of spread out your shots and at least hit each one of them once or twice. But if I'm like just kind of going through and I know there's like 20 guys, I'll just use the pistol because it's more accurate for one, because it doesn't have the whole recoil and everything, and it basically takes the same amount of shots unless you're hitting the dude in the head. But that's just like a minor gripe, just kind of something that's like, I'm sure they'll fix it for the second one, because it's their first time making like a real shooter game, really, right? Because, I mean, Sir Jack and Daxter had some shooting in it, but it wasn't the same kind of style, really.
Yeah, I guess probably the reason I didn't notice it then is because it mainly is an issue with the machine guns. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think it's mainly the machine guns. Like, basically, the Uzi and the machine gun seem very weak, because they should be tearing into the enemies, when really they're not.
Okay.
So
okay, that makes sense, because I was very conservative with my ammo, so I didn't just like unload on guys. I would just like pop a couple shots, and then duck behind cover, and then come out, pop a couple more shots, and then duck behind cover.
Yeah.
So that's probably why I didn't notice it then.
Yeah. The only other thing that kind of it was kind of just annoying at first, but it's again not game breaking. It's still awesome. Is the respawning of enemies in certain rooms. You'll clear them out once, and then all of a sudden, they'll start coming from the same area again. It's kind of like the developer's like, okay, well, four enemies in here, and then you kill them, and all of a sudden, okay, let's just make it a little bit harder. Send 4 more guys out there. And the reason why it bugs me is because other games with the same style, mainly like a Gears of War, they do the same kind of thing, but they do it differently in terms of, okay, say the first 4 guys break through a door. The next 3 or 4 guys are going to come up through the ground. So they're still kind of spawning enemies in the same room, but they're coming at you in different ways, not just coming through like the way you
the
came
same
in,
door.
Same directions, exactly. And the only thing that hurts in the game is I think it hurts kind of the pacing, where you go into a room, you see 4 guys, you're like, oh shit, okay, I know I'm going to kill all these guys, and right after that I'm going to have to kill another 4 guys that have come through like the same doorway or, same kind of thing. But luckily the combat's fun, so it's not like it gets too repetitive. Just I found that at this point, I guess I'm not sure it's the point in the game, and I kind of wish there was a little bit more platforming. I think it's like kind of too action heavy in certain areas, but I think it's only because of these parts that I kind of forget the how long the platforming elements are. Now maybe you didn't get the same feeling, but
well, I agree with you, and it does seem like it's combat heavy in a lot of situations, but you see a lot more platforming as you get further in the game.
Oh yeah, I think I'm at chapter 11.
Oh nice, good. Yeah, you're about halfway through.
Yeah, I'm just actually in the middle. I'm at the jet skiing parts.
What do you think of the achievements?
They're pretty cool. I like them. They're I'm not going to be I'm not the type of guy, like, I'm not a completionist when I play games, so I'm not going to go for every treasure or search every little nook and cranny for like a ring or something. But I like how it basically does have the achievement system. You shoot like 50 dudes in the head, it'll be like 50 headshots, give you whatever.
Yep.
100 deaths or kills with this weapon is pretty cool. I haven't really seen what it unlocks yet. I'm not sure if you have to go to a menu or maybe just automatically puts it into the game.
It's in the extras menu, I think.
Is it?
And I think you can access some of them from the pause screen.
Okay. But
the thing that you said about spawning enemies, I actually forgot all about this until you mentioned it, but I did run into a problem with that. And I can't remember what chapter it was or where it was or whatever, but there was one where I ran in and it was like where you enter the room was actually higher than the floor.
Okay.
So you enter through this door, and then what I was doing is I was just picking guys off from the door. I never dropped down onto the floor.
Okay.
Well, as I'm sitting here picking guys off, all of a sudden I turn around and there's an enemy frozen in time behind me. And I'm like, what the hell is that? And you know, I unload a couple rounds into him and nothing happens. I'm like, what the fuck? And all of a sudden he just like takes off and runs into the room and I'm like, holy shit, I'm sitting at a spawn point. That's hilarious.
Yep, exactly.
And they just ran right past me. I thought it was really funny. But that's the only time that I really ran into a problem with that whole thing, but it did entertain me at the time.
Yeah. If the game was solely based on shooting, like a shooting game, that would drive me nuts and I'd probably just be like, okay, this game isn't worth playing through. But because it's not primarily a shooting game, I can live with it and it's not that big of a deal. Because I know I'll get through this room, then I'll have to like platform for a bit or whatever. Like I remember Ghost Recon, one of the ones for original Xbox, like Summit Strike or something like that. Same problem. Like you'd go into an area and you'd clear it. Everyone all of a sudden you'll see on your radar all of a sudden just, you know, like these red dots just appear out of nowhere. And sometimes if you turn fast, you can actually see them spawning. And this totally takes the realism out of it. You're like, this is retarded. Forget it. And that's why I stopped playing. This is like, what's the point? It's like, okay, I see all these guys. I'm going to take them out with sniper rifles. Cool. I'm going to make my way in there slowly. Next thing you know, guys respawn right next to you anyway. So it's like, what's the point? But it's not that bad in Uncharted.
At least in Uncharted, they're coming through a door or something, you know?
Exactly. They're not just appearing out of nowhere. You're not going to be walking. All of a sudden, someone's right behind you right away. Like, if they're behind you, it's because they got to you from some point. But yeah, the game is really fucking awesome. And if that was just changed a little bit, and the whole shooting thing, I think this would be close to a flawless game of its genre. It's just that good. And the storylines, I love the characters. The characters are awesome. Nathan Drake's funny, and what's the girl's name? Elaine, is it? Elaine or something?
I forget. Yeah,
something like that. Whatever. We'll call her that, whatever. I got nothing. But
the reporter chick.
Sure, reporter chick. And she's pretty cool. And I'm going to say something right now. You've beat it, right, Chris? So don't say anything. I don't want you to spoil it for me. Jay, you have beat it, right? You've only rented it. Right?
No, I'm gonna bring it to Jason tomorrow, and if I remember, and let him borrow it.
Okay. I keep hearing this.
I'm just gonna say this. Don't spoil this for me. If anyone's listening and you don't want to write in, I'm not saying the storyline is bad or predictable because I actually like the storyline. But I'm gonna go out there and say that Sullivan is not dead and that he's actually in on it with the bad dudes. He sold you out. I'm just going to say that right now because they set it up. It's kind of the beginning of the game, guys. I'm not spoiling anything, but your buddy Sullivan dies in like one of the early chapters. He gets shot in the chest. But I have this feeling because of the way it's all set up and the build up to that point that he is working either with them or he sold you out, basically. Because, I have my reasons for it. I'll just explain that afterwards once I beat the game and realize whether or not I'm right or not. But I'm just going to throw that out there.
Do you know anything about the story?
I know nothing whatsoever.
Good.
Actually, no. I do know one major twist, apparently, that happens like in like the 20th chapter or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But that's not that big of a deal to me. I'm just like, But I don't know. Like, I don't know anything about how that comes about, like how this thing actually happens.
They do a good job of explaining it.
Okay, cool.
And you're going to get to... You're going to figure out more about what you were talking about in a bit, I think.
Okay, cool. But yeah, that's all I've really been playing, and I'm really liking it, guys. Like, this is the first game I almost want to be like, people should go out and buy a PS3 for this game. It's that good, and I think it's getting kind of underrated, and people are ignoring it for some stupid reason.
Do you agree that it's one of those things where it's like when you first started playing it, it was like, or not when you first started playing it, but when you first saw it, it was like, it's a Tomb Raider clone or whatever, and you're not that interested. And then you start playing it, and it's like, wow.
It was more or less like when I played the demo, I figured more like a Tomb Raider clone, and that's also when I was kind of had the whole like, I was kind of underwhelmed by the graphics. They were good, but I didn't think they were blown away. Like, people out there who've only played the demo, don't judge the game by the demo. Like, yeah, playing definitely. Through to where I am now, that is probably the least impressive level in the entire game up to where I've played.
I would agree.
In terms of looks, for sure. And I don't look at it as a Tomb Raider wannabe, because Tomb Raider's a lot slower moving.
True.
It's a bit too much concentrated on puzzle solving and platforming and less on action. This has a pretty decent balance. I think it's a little bit more towards action, but it's not so much where you can be like, hey, there's hardly any platforming. I would not never call it a Tomb Raider with a dude. I just wouldn't do it. You, like, okay, what are you going to say? National Treasures Tomb Raider with a guy in the United States? Like, I mean, it's a genre of a game, and Tomb Raider might have created it on consoles, but doesn't mean any of the games can't be different.
Fair enough.
But yeah, that's basically all I've been playing.
All right, cool. Well, I haven't been playing much either. I did play more of Dawn of Sorrow because I'm on my Castlevania kick. I've gotten to about the same place I was where I quit last time because I started over. And, you know, I'm enjoying it more this time around because of the fact that I played Portrait of Ruin and I'm seeing a lot of the enemies that I saw in Portrait of Ruin, which in reality it's the other way around. But I'm also noticing a lot of the enemies from Symphony of the Night as well. So that's kind of cool and nostalgic and all that good stuff. And mostly this week I'm playing Mass Effect because I'm addicted to it. And, before I get into this, I'm going to say that I love this game. I really do. But there's so much about this game that I am just disappointed with. I mean, it's a really, really, really great game. But this had the potential to be incredible and, like, off the charts. And they dropped the ball on so many things, I think.
I think it's important to differentiate between your disappointment in the potential and disappointment in the game.
No, you know, it's a disappointment. It's a disappointment in the game.
Okay.
And I'll explain what I mean. The frame rate, which we've talked about, is getting to the point where it's actually affected gameplay for me at times. Other things, but just little things that, you know, like the shadows are meh, you know?
Oh, they're terrible.
2D, sets of stairs. I mean, there's a lot of stairwells, like where I am right now in Navaria, in the city. It's an angle, and it's just got a texture over it that looks like stairs, and they're not really stairs. You know, it's a lot of little things that just okay. I've visited just about every system so far. I pretty much started at the top, Jason, like you said you did. And I started weaving in and out from all the systems, and when I hit a story mission, I would do the story mission, and I just kept going. This is probably what gets this is one of the things that gets me a lot. I get to a planet, I get to a system, I land on a planet. Hey, look, here's some mines. I go into the mines, I explore the mines, I finish whatever I'm doing, and I leave. I go to a different system, I go to a different planet, and I go down and I land on the planet. Oh, look, here's some mines. Hey, look, it looks exactly like the mines that I just visited three planets ago. I mean, the map is the same. There's no difference to it whatsoever. They do it with the mines. They do it with the freighters. They do it with the bases. I mean, it's. I understand that reuse is important in programming. I'm a software engineer. I understand that. I appreciate that. But there is going overboard. And reusing the same map for every single mine and every single base, it's just... It's something that's getting to me. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. It's not affecting my enjoyment of the game. But, I mean, it's an issue. And I don't know if it's because they didn't have time or if it was because they didn't have space on the disc. I mean, that could very well be an issue. Mm-hmm. You know? So I don't
know.
You're
talking mostly about the side quests, though, right?
Yeah.
Because I didn't find that at all in the main story. I found them all the planets.
In the main story, everything is different. But when you do the side quests, everything's exactly the same.
Yeah.
You know, all the planets look exactly the same. The only one that's different is the moon. And this is something that Jason and I actually chatted about because I hadn't done the moon yet. But there's a side quest that you do on the moon. And that one is really cool because you're in the rover and you're running around the moon and you see the Earth up in the air in the background and it looks really cool.
Great scenery, yeah.
That's one of the actually did.
Yeah, but all the other ones, all the planets look the same. You know, they're just a different color and they just have different mountains.
that's kind of the same though in a lot of games, the same kind of type. Like Oblivion was the same way. Like they weren't like a lot of the dungeons, the ones that weren't involved in the main story or like a main quest, they didn't necessarily have the same layout, but the textures, the geometry were all pretty much exactly the same. Mm-hmm. It seems like I'm not sure if it's a time issue. It could very well be a space issue as well. Yeah. It's kind of like, I don't know. I think what they did was, I think Mass Effect kind of pulled a BioWare kind of pulled up Peter Molyneux and basically overpromised everybody what the game was going to be like. Because when we first started hearing like previews about the game and what they said was going to be, and you're supposed to be able to travel all of like the Milky Way and go land on any single planet, and they're all going to look different, and it's going to have different missions and all the stuff. And then they realized when they were actually making the game, like, yeah, about that whole other planet thing, it's not really going to happen. So let's basically take this cookie cutter and then do this, put different colors and
weather. And I really think that's what they did.
Yeah, I think they just kind of got their heads, you know, too far under the water, and then just kind of Microsoft's like, all right, guys, well, kind of have to have this game out at some point. So they're like, you know what, fuck it, downloadable content it is. And that's what I think you're going to see on the downloadable content side of it, Mass Effect. I think it'll just be basically more side missions, but different looking planets.
Jeff. Bottle cap.
Oh, we can hear
the bottle cap.
I can't believe you can hear that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Besides that, I'm really enjoying the game. I'm loving the combat. I just got a million credits, and when you get a million credits, you unlock it. You not only do you unlock an achievement that's called Rich, but if you go to the dude that sells stuff in on your ship, your Spectre weapons are there, and the Spectre weapons are freaking nuts. I mean, they're more powerful than anything I've seen so far, and I mean, like the pistol is more powerful than any assault rifle I've seen so far.
Nice.
I mean,
do they change visually at all?
Yeah, they do. Okay. They're like all black with this like red glow. It's pretty cool. Ooh. But yeah, you get a million credits, and then after you get a million credits, you can go talk to the dude, and you can buy all four weapons, and still have like, I think I had like 200,000 credits left over or something like that. So I'm walking around with all these. I just got them too. Before we started the podcast, I shut off Mass Effect, and I was in the middle of taking down some Geth with my kick-ass sniper rifle. So,
are you still drunk with it, or does that actually get? So you still get the whole? Because I just started playing a soldier my second time through, and so I never used sniper rifles the first time. But I noticed the first time I tried to use it, like you said before, it's like you're drunk.
No, I'm not at all. Not at all. It's like, and actually, what I do now is I'll. I'm not sure if you know this or not, but when you get to a planet where you have to fight enemies while you're in the rover, you get more experience for some of them if you actually destroy them not using the rover.
Oh, really?
I noticed this. I'm pretty sure that this is what I saw, but it's like they have like the rocket launching towers, and if you take this tower out with the rover, it gives you like 150 experience points. But if you get out of the rover and you take it out yourself, then it gives you like 500 or 450 or something.
Okay.
So you get more experience if you actually, you know, use the guns as opposed to the rover's gun. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I've increased my sniper rifle to the point where I have the second assassination ability. And with that, plus the advancement of the actual rifle in general and the modifications to it, I can duck, I can pop up to pull off a shot and then duck again, and you know, he takes a shot and then he takes a minute to steady again. Mm-hmm. Once he steadies, all I have to do is pop up again and pop another shot. You know, I don't have to keep re-aiming like I did before.
Oh, awesome.
So it definitely gets easier.
And this assassination thing you're talking about, the assault rifle, is that one of the attachments you get?
No. Assassination is one of the abilities on the sniper rifle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. That's one of the Spectre sniper rifles, or is this just one that you just found?
No. It's one of your soldier abilities. Yeah, it's your skills.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like I said, I just started playing soldiers, so.
Gotcha. Yeah. What? Basically, all it is really is that it increases damage, I think.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty sure. I've never used it. I just honestly, I don't use my abilities all that much. It's probably a downfall of me, but on my part. But yeah, that's pretty much it. I'm loving the game. I've now finished two of the story missions. I'm on the third story mission, and the fourth one has opened up for me. After I finish the third one, I'm going to go revisit some of the side quests that I've got and then go beat it. I'm at about 21 hours, I think.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm really enjoying the game, even with all the things that I said that are disappointing. Mm-hmm. The game in general is still solid, and I still like it a lot.
Yeah.
So.
Good on you.
Good on ya.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, well, this week was the holidays, guys, so we didn't really get much information for news. We didn't get any news at all.
There was nothing.
All the sites basically decided to take the week off and not give any news. The only thing that was even remotely interesting in the news that I saw was the kid that got the PS3 as a Christmas gift and there was a phone book in it? From like an EP or something?
Sucker.
You gotta feel sorry for the kid, you know? But,
Now, the funniest part with that is you can check out the video on YouTube. I don't know what you'd search, I guess phone book and PS3 or something like that. But they're showing a video of, like, you know, this family at Christmas. And I was like, that's pretty funny. There's a phone book in there. It didn't actually feel too bad until I realized one of the games he got was Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, poor son. Poor soul.
But the other one was Skate. So, you know, Skate's pretty good.
True.
Yeah,
true. Yeah.
So that's cool. But,
Pirates.
That's it.
God, that was a shitty game.
Are you going to tell the people what it was? Like, what the whole story is? It's pretty self-explanatory, but...
Yeah, well, that's pretty much it. The woman got it from EB. She got it home, and they wrapped it up right away. Kid opened it up, and, you know, there was a phone book in it. And he said that he started laughing at the time because he thought it was funny.
Yeah.
But the parents were pissed, obviously.
Oh, God.
They spent $500 on a machine that's, you know, a phone book.
Yeah.
So she said she was going to go back to the store, and you know, that's the last I heard of it. I got to follow up.
Yeah, and she's all worried.
I'm actually interested to find out what happens with that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, as a normal person walking in there being like, there was a phone book in this PS3 box, he'll be like, yeah, okay, whatever, get out of here. But she did
the
good thing, went to the news and everything, so.
Yeah, that shit's on the news, man.
Exactly.
They're going to give her a new PS3, I guarantee.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And they'll probably get more as well, not just a new PS3.
I would bet on it. I would
and
bet
whoever,
that.
Whoever did that is fucking, their ass is on the line.
Agreed.
Big time.
But, so that's our news for this week.
Hey.
So, yeah, we have a Game of the Year this week. We're going to do the overall Game of the Year after we take a break. But before we take a break, we wanted to talk about, in general, we want to talk about downloads and portables. Let's start with downloads, guys.
Nobody gives them enough love.
I agree.
No.
That's
true.
We picked out five downloads that we thought were incredible, pretty much. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to talk about them and maybe pick one that we thought was the best. The first one is Pain.
Yes.
What do you guys think?
It's fun.
It's pretty, yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot.
I was pleasantly surprised by it. And I've played it a lot more than I ever thought I would. When I first tried it out, I'm like, this is extremely juvenile and stupid. But I keep coming back to it.
And kept playing it. All of
I
a sudden, it was
pretty telling,
anymore.
Though. Yeah. Maybe I'm just juvenile and stupid.
The one thing that I do hope with Pain is I do enjoy it, and you know, it's one of those things that if I have a few minutes to kill, I'll pull it up.
Yeah.
But I really hope that whatever downloadable content they have is free, as far as maps and stuff, because $10 for one map really does get on my nerves.
They've released some of the characters, like additional characters that you can use, and they've all been like $2 a pop or something like that.
No, the characters are 99 cents.
Oh, really?
Okay. You have to pay for characters?
Yeah, that's kind of crappy. Yeah, there's two characters. One is Santa Claus.
Thing is, that's not even like... Okay, it's one thing to charge for a car or something like a new kind of game type in a game or something you actually take control of, but to basically you're paying $1 for a skin.
No, well, yes and no. Because...
Can you walk around as Santa and give gifts to all the people you're going to like bash their faces
well,
off buildings?
Do
or?
They handle
the idea is that, the, you know, this game is built around physics, right?
Yeah.
Right. So the two characters that you that are not in the game that are like downloadable mm-hmm. is Santa Claus and some chick in like a Santa bikini. So
nice.
You know, like every you know perverted horny teenager out there is going to get that one. But things are going to work differently shooting this little 98 pound chick and like a 300 pound Santa Claus.
Okay,
so the physics are different.
That's
kind of what I was getting at.
I would assume so. I don't know for sure, but I would assume they are. I'll have to follow up on that and check.
Who's going to spend the dollar to find out?
I'll pick up Santa Claus.
I'll get the chick. What the
hell? And then we'll share.
All right. So next, what was the next game on our list?
Next game on the list was Pac-Man Championship Edition.
Very cool.
Cool.
Yeah, did you get it, Jason?
Technically no, but I played the hell out of the demo.
Oh yeah.
For sure. Yeah, it was a great update. I remember when they announced it. It was big news for a little while. Microsoft made a big deal out of it, and everybody kind of groaned when they named what it was. But yeah. Playing it, man, it looks great in HD. It really does, and I love the new mazes. Once again, the visuals spectacular, and it's still the same Pac-Man. You know, which is one of the greatest games ever.
Agreed.
Yeah.
You know,
it's one of the best downloaded.
Is it fast?
Sure, that's the thing. That's what I think that saved it, is that it is extremely fast, which is one thing that Pac-Man needed. And they've been trying to remake Pac-Man for years, put it in 3D, you know, make it side-scrolling, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they said, you know what, we'll just update the graphics, have a changing maze, and make it, like, 10 times as fast as the original Pac-Man. And it controls wonderfully.
Here's the thing. Like, the original Pac-Man was slow, right?
Oh, it was slow as ass.
Miss Pac-Man in the arcade was super fast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I mean, it hauled ass. And then I downloaded Miss Pac-Man on 360 and was super disappointed because it's so damn slow.
Yep. I mean, it's like playing a Super
It was unplayable. Fighter. It was literally unplayable for me. I was like, what am I? What the hell is going on? I'm going 2 miles an hour. I feel like I'm playing the original Pac-Man. So, you know, if Championship Edition is faster, then that's a big plus.
Yeah. Oh, exactly. Like I was going to say, it's just like playing, if you play Street Fighter 2 Turbo or Street Fighter 2 Champion Edition, then go back and play the original Street Fighter 2, you're like, why are my guys fighting, like, in low grav?
Why are they floating?
Yeah. it was really surprising. It surprised me, too. I wasn't going to buy it. I was like, Pac-Man, oh, God. And everyone bugged me to play it and download the demo. I was like, yeah, it's kind of cool. And 10 minutes later, I was downloading the full version. But I played the hell of it for a good 3 days.
Cool. Next we have Super Stardust HD. I love
Nobody's
this
gonna
game.
Nobody's going to talk about that one. I was surprised by it. I didn't think that I was going to like it, but
this is probably the best traditional dual stick space shooter I've ever played.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
Over Geometry Wars?
Yes. Yes, over Geometry Wars.
It's definitely up there for me.
Because visually it is, I mean, You don't think of a game like it's a $10 game that you download off the store, but the game is visually stunning when you look at it. You know,
it really is.
The effects when you blow shit up are amazing. Just the asteroids themselves look, you know, they look like asteroids. You know, they're you can see all the cracks and crevices and everything. And when you blow them up, you know, they shoot in every direction, and it's visually very impressive for what it is.
Yeah, no, I agree. I haven't put as much like playtime into it as I have like Geometry Wars. I've only actually played it at an actual demo kiosk, but it was I liked it. I thought it was pretty cool. I would definitely, just for the 5 minutes I played it, I would definitely put it in the downloadable Game of the Year like nomination, just because it's a lot of, ever since Geometry Wars, everyone, their grandmothers wanted to put out a dual stick shooter.
Yeah,
Balbrin, pretty crap, and
right.
It's
These
actually good.
Nailed
like,
it, though.
Oh, they totally did. They took basically.
They very much did. Yeah.
I can't say which one I like better. Like, I would probably I can see myself getting into Super Stardust more actually than Geometry Wars, just because I'm a bit of a graphics whore, and I like when I'm doing playing a game, even if I'm having a lot of fun, I like it to be really pretty while I'm having a lot of fun too. So it's
another thing I really like about it is that when you advance in stages, when you go back, you can start up at a stage further ahead. When you do that, they proportionally increase your weapon power based on where you actually put yourself. So it's like if you start on the first level, then all your weapons are at 0%.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you start at the second level, then maybe, you know, your gold weapon is, your laser is up at like 25% or something like that. So they increase your, to make it easier to get through, they increase your weapon power.
That makes sense.
And you keep your, this is the thing that I liked about Super Stardust over, why does it skip my mind now? The first dual stick shooter that was out on PS3.
Oh,
Blast Factor.
Yeah.
The Blast Factor was really cool, and I enjoyed playing the demo, and it's like, hey, all right, I'm running around, I'm blowing stuff up, it feels like Super Stardust. And then you get to the next stage, and you have no weapons left, and I'm like, hey, wait, what's that about?
Aww.
You know, it's like, I was enjoying having my kick-ass weapon, why did it go away? So So, but yeah, Super Stardust, that's one of the things I like about it, is that you keep your weapons and stuff.
Yeah.
Next is Everyday Shooter.
Woohoo! Giving love to the indies.
This Everyday Shooter is the reason that when I said I thought Super Stardust HD was the best, I said traditional dual stick shooter, because I do not consider Everyday Shooter a traditional dual stick shooter. It plays the same.
It certainly is. Yeah.
Yeah. At first glance, you think it is, but once you start getting into it, it's a lot of fun.
That's a whole lot of strategy to the game. I mean, each stage has its own way of, you know, how the combos work, how the chain reactions work, and that changes up between stages. And you've really got to, I don't know, it adds a whole new element to, you know, just the traditional run and gun, you know, dual stick shooter type game. Not to mention, you know, the soundtrack is really cool. I love how the soundtrack kind of pops up and down, you know, with how you're playing the game. Graphically, very experimental, very artsy. I dig it.
And then they have all the options that you can unlock to modify the graphics.
Yeah, you can, like, unlock cheats and stuff, too. And it's cool.
Have you played this, Jeff?
I haven't played it yet, no.
You need to play it.
So I can't really say. So good. I can't put in my 2 cents.
If you like Geometry Wars, you'll like this game, I promise.
Yeah. Cool. I'll give it a shot. Is there a demo for it? I haven't really bought any, like, I've bought a few PSN games, but not too many, just because a lot of them don't give you that option to try it out first.
We might need to give, or let Jeff in the Circle of R.
We'll we might need to do that.
Circle of R.
Circle of R.
I think I can put R. Oh, okay.
We'll discuss that.
Why can't it be
that.
The Circle of I?
We'll discuss that with our third member. Yep. Last and definitely not least is Warhawk.
See, I
debated
yeah.
with this one. I mean, is it a downloadable game? Because you can buy it retail. I mean, I suppose you can buy Uno in the store too.
And it's about 5 times as much as any of the other downloads.
This seemed like it was marketed more towards, you know, like a full on retail game. But I mean, the fact that it is downloadable.
I have to say that every other media
site, it just seems to be
in
a different
site,
league. You know,
every media outlet out there is saying Warhawk is qualifying it as a downloadable game.
Okay,
which is why I said
it doesn't
look
like a downloadable game. I'll tell you that.
No, it definitely doesn't.
I know
it doesn't play like one either.
Especially because we're going with all originals. Because I mean, the fact that Symphony of the Night isn't on our list almost brings a tear to my eye. But then again, that's an old game, just rehashed and thrown on things. So
it's also something that was re-released in a superior form on a portable.
Mm-hmm. I'd argue that. I don't. The Witch? Played it 3 times, you said?
No, I think it's been like released 3 times this year. In
oh yeah,
you know,
definitely.
So many fashions.
Yeah.
Like on you know, DirectX, you know, it was released on there and PSN and of course the 360. Anyway, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Proceed.
So Warhawk.
Yes.
So yeah, Warhawk.
Great. Awesome game. Huh? I mean. That was in the running, early running for me for PS3 Game of the Year, actually.
Really?
Yeah, because I remember when you first got Warhawk, you were.
Oh, I love it.
Loving it.
Yep, I did love it until I got sick and tired of the online how the online worked in terms of the party system. I think it's downright terrible and actually unacceptable for a game that is strictly multiplayer. They need to fix
try
it.
Like hell to overlook that.
Yeah, I don't know how either. Especially when it's not even a launch game and Resistance has a much better party system that was a launch game. And, you know, it's just that's literally the only reason that made me stop playing is because when I saw my friends playing, it was just such a hassle to get into a game with them, and it just made it not worth it and made me actually wish there was bots in a multiplayer game just so I can play the damn game. Because I don't like playing games like that, like with a bunch of random people. So
they really need to have like a patch or something that adds bots. I don't understand why it's difficult. You know,
well,
you know,
I heard today. Well, D-Man from the boards from GLF, he was saying that the next patch is supposedly going to help out the situation, but he also said that it's not going to be a Resistance type party system, but there is going to be some kind of update. So, but then again, this isn't fact, so don't hold us to it. I'm hoping it's true.
That was a rumor. all right, guys, what's the best one on the list? Jeff,
Warhawk,
Jason.
I gotta say Warhawk too, really, I do, just because, I mean, if we're considering that a downloadable game, it's in a different league, it really is. It's above and beyond as far as quality and, Warhawk.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to say Everyday Shooter.
Really?
Yeah, I have to.
If we were going to go okay, if we're going to say best downloadable game overall, I would have to definitely say Warhawk. But if we're going to have like a price cap, say $15 and under, then yeah. I'd, from what people
well,
are hearing...
Well, then Warhawk wouldn't be on here.
Sorry?
Then Warhawk wouldn't be on here.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying. So I'm saying I'm kind of dividing mine up into two. If you don't care about price, Warhawk is definitely the best game you can download for sure, like no doubt about it. But in regards to, like, if you're looking for, like, anywhere between $5 and $15, Super Stardust HD or... I haven't played Everyday Shooter, but from everyone I've heard, it's awesome. So that's kind of hard for me to decide because I haven't played one of them. But so then I guess I'd have to go Stardust for budget and then Warhawk for best overall.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Deal. All right. Deal. Shall we move on to portables?
Let's do it up.
Okay. First one we have on the list for portables is Puzzle Quest.
Oh, my God.
Puzzle Crack is more accurate.
Jesus Christ. I've downloaded this game. I've bought this game 3-4 times. I've played the hell out of it. It's just extremely addictive.
Jay, how come you downloaded it or bought it that many times? Have the other versions broke?
I have
or?
No idea why. Like I said before, I'm like a completionist. I'm like obsessed. I don't know why. I'm like, oh, well, I want to be able to play it when I'm playing my 360. I mean, well, I got to play it while I'm on my DS.
next he's going
to
buy the PS2.
I have to play it wherever the fuck I am, anytime, anywhere.
All right, I'm going to say that I actually went through and beat this game. You cap at level 50, but you know, they have your character has a citadel. And you can actually upgrade your citadel to give you different abilities. Like you can add a dungeon, so you can capture enemies after you've fought them like 3 times. You'll have the option to catch them, and you'll play a different mini game to capture them. And then you can get mounts, and you same idea. You can capture them. Well, you can also buy stat upgrades. So after you cap out at level 50, then you can just collect gold and buy stats. And I actually played it to the point where, you know, all my stats are over 100. So, and they go up to like 255, I think they do, or something like that.
And this is a puzzle game.
Yeah, it's a puzzle game. It's ridiculous how addicting and just intriguing it is. I suggest it to anybody out there who has any system that it is on, which is basically everything but PS3. Buy it. Period. Done.
Yeah, I'm going to pick it up. Again, that's another game that I haven't played. And for those listening, the reason why some of us haven't played it, we basically went with if two of us out of three played it and we want it on there, it goes on there. Kind of like a voting system. Just so people don't get confused. Like,
I ruled this one out. I mean, I'm like, oh, for crying out loud, it's Bejeweled in like a fantasy setting. How fucking ridiculous is that?
About 90% of the gaming world out there.
Yeah, we're all eating our words now.
You know what, guys? You know what really got me interested in this game? The Penny Arcade comics.
Oh yeah, they were big proponents for it.
Yeah, they had a couple of they had like two or three of them. I think there were two, but they loved this game, and I was like, what is the deal? Why is it so intriguing to them? And I started watching videos of it, like on the media sites, and I was just looking at it like. It actually looks kind of fun. So I went out and just on a whim, I bought it for PSP, and I couldn't put it down. I really could not put it down.
I think they have a way of, like, blessing games, too. Like, they did it with Puzzle Quest. They definitely did it with, like, Eye of Judgment.
Yeah, they did it with
like
Eye of Judgment, too.
Everybody was talking about Eye of Judgment after the Penny Arcade stuff started coming out. But I digress.
Yes. Sorry. Very cool. All right. Jeff, buy it.
I will. Next on the list.
Next is Zelda Phantom Hourglass.
Yeah, you can talk about this one.
All three of us have played this one.
That's right.
Yeah.
Great game.
Fantastic game.
I
definitely need to go back and continue playing it. But I like how they... I was very, very skeptical about the control scheme at first with the stylus, but I turned out to like it a lot.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I usually don't like that kind of super cutesy art style, but again, on the DS, it just kind of suits it.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed that they went back to Wind Waker graphics.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that at all, and I didn't know that they could pull it off in, you know, such a limited hardware. I think they did. They totally did. And the stylus, you know, very intuitive, worked out well. I wasn't expecting much out of it, but was surprised by it.
Well, I think the idea to go with the Wind Waker cel-shaded graphics was a very positive, just because it was, it gave the graphics a more artistic view. So you weren't looking at them in a technical sense. You weren't looking at them saying, "Man, these graphics really suck," because you know, the DS hardware just isn't powerful enough. It's, it gave it more of a cutesy feel, and it was, it just, it, it ended up making the game look better.
Yeah, overall, yeah, for sure. And they simpled it down a little bit, but that's understandable too, because it is a handheld. And I really liked it. Surprised the hell out of me. Just took long enough to get here. Just played for what, like a year and a half or something like that?
Something like that. Have you guys played multiplayer at all?
Yeah. It's just fun for a bit. It's like, quick. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
It wears on you real quick because it's very limited.
Yeah, gotcha. It's not very too much limited. You can do.
Next, we have Castlevania, Dracula X Chronicles.
Wow. Yeah. Word.
Like we haven't been talking about this enough in the past few weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I don't know what else we can really add to this.
Besides the fact that if you own a PSP, you have to own it.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
We touched on this one a couple times. Jeanne d'Arc.
Mm-hmm.
Or woo-hoo. Jeanne d'Arc. I always say d'Arc, and I always get corrected.
That's
the
Canadian.
So.
He's got this Frenchman up there.
Jeanne d'Arc. How do
we, Jeanne d'Arc. There we go.
Jeanne d'Arc.
Jeanne d'Arc. This is the most fun tactical RPG that I have ever played. Well, that I have played since Final Fantasy Tactics on the PS1.
Mm-hmm.
On PS1, yes, because you will correct me if I say something different.
No. I was just making sure that you weren't talking about the Game Boy Advance one or something.
Oh, no. I actually never played that one, but I was really into them. Like, I played Vandal Hearts for the PS1. I loved that, and then I played Tactics, and I got into a few others, you know, on PS2 and stuff like this, and none of them compared to Jeanne. Jeanne d'Arc is quality game.
It totally is. And it's a deeper... Oh, God. I'm going to go out on a limb and actually say it's deeper than Tactics. Can I
wow.
do that?
You really think so?
I can't judge. I haven't played Tactics.
Combo attacks. You know, it matters where your characters are placed. Your defense will increase if you've got someone on the other side of the enemy.
Yeah.
And likewise for attacking. So... Final Fantasy Tactics didn't really have that much.
True, but you also had the class system in Tactics.
Class system, but once you get your class structure down, I mean, that's pretty much it.
True enough.
You're done. You know?
And honestly, I have to say that I love the transforming in this game.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool. And Jeff, have you experienced Godspeed yet?
Oh, yeah.
I think that is awesome, because for the listeners, if you haven't played this game, your main character and, so far for me, one other character have these armlets that let them transform into these ultra powerful armored, you know, I kick your ass in one shot bastards.
Power-ranger-esque.
Yeah, and basically if they attack an enemy and they kill that enemy, then an ability called Godspeed kicks in, and they basically get another turn. And you can do this as long as you could kill enemies. You can keep taking new turns, and it's it's something I've never really seen.
And that goes with the depth too, because you can only do that once per battle. So you got to be smart when you use it, because it only lasts for two turns, right? If you don't kill
anyone, two turns, once per battle.
Yeah.
So I usually end up using it like when I'm about. When I'm like in stepping range of the boss on the field.
Yeah. Same.
I also like the fact that there's an item creation system, so I have to say that too. But then again, it's level 5, so what do you expect? When White Knight's story comes out, I'm expecting a little blue frog to follow you around and create items for you. Last but not least, Crush.
Aha.
Thoughts?
Is that our surprise?
I haven't played it.
You haven't played Crush?
Anyone?
Nope.
Jason, you play Crush, right?
Yeah. Not as much as I should have, I think, though. I got sidetracked by something else. But when I first popped it in, though, I was confused as all hell. And I think I got frustrated right away. But then I went back to it later on and found out that, holy shit, this is really, like, intricate. I keep saying the word surprise, but I was pleasantly surprised by how inventive it was. dare I say, innovative as far as
it was definitely
for the for a PSP, and it was such a, you know, it's a sleeper hit, really. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else I can really say about it.
A lot of people tried to compare it to Paper Mario at first.
Yeah,
in a way,
and it's really nothing like it. Nothing like it. The only different, the only thing that's the same is that you go from 2D to 3D, and that's it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But just
some
the way that you can...
It's just like a mind fuck sometimes.
It really is, and because you can basically have the camera in five different spots on any side of the level and looking down on it, I believe. Mm-hmm. And basically, there are going to be... There's areas you can't get to, so you can turn the camera and, you know, crush the level to 2D and move across to a new area and then uncrush it, and then you're in this totally new area that you weren't in before. So it's a very unusual, very well thought out game, and it'll make you think.
Who made this anyway? I know
Sega
published it.
Oh, Sega published it. I don't know who made it.
Did they develop it though? I don't know.
I thought they did.
Which developer?
I'll check on that while, during the break.
Who did Choo Choo Rocket?
Choo-choo.
Oh, I don't know.
I need to make... Where the hell is that on the PSN and Xbox Live?
Choo-choo Rocket?
Yeah, that needs to be on one of those. Like, soon. Interesting. Game was awesome. So. Yeah, sure. I
haven't seen many of those ported yet.
Ew.
It's possible, though.
All right, guys, what do you think?
Overall, mine's kind of a gimme. I'm going to have to say Puzzle Quest. I really do. Mm-hmm.
I do too, actually.
So much into it. Okay.
And this is really, really hard for me because I'm such a Castlevania fanboy.
Yeah.
But I can honestly say that Puzzle Quest, I spent way too much time on that game.
Yeah.
Way too much time. So
yeah.
I have to go.
Most technically sound or most innovative by any means, but it's got the
fucking just addictive as
digital
hell.
Crack in there somewhere, and it's got to count for something.
I'm telling you, I think they actually put something on the disc that as soon as you pick it up, you're addicted.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
I get it. I don't know what it is.
Well, mine, I haven't played Puzzle Quest, so obviously I can't really go with that. I've heard a lot of good things. Okay. My actual honest pick for Portable Game of the Year actually isn't even a nomination, just again, because not enough people played it, but if I were to say buy one portable game like out of the year, I'd have to go with Siphon Filter, Logan Shadow. That's just because it is
we probably should have. It's really hard to break it down to five games.
Especially when, if you guys... We tried to make it so, like, we at least all of us have touched on most of the games, so if it makes more sense to put two games or a game that you guys have both played as opposed to a game that only I've played and you guys haven't. It just doesn't really make sense because then it's like, well, how do these guys know if they haven't played it or how do I know if I haven't played it? So, totally understandable. But it is a really good game. You guys try it out. That would be my personal pick. But if I had to go with one of the ones on the list... I'd go with Jeanne d'Arc, only because, like I said last week, it opened me up to a genre of gaming I have literally blocked out of my gaming habits since Shining Force 2, when that was released in, I can't even remember, 80, 90, late 80s? 92, maybe? 91?
Yeah, it's gotta be like 93, 94.
It was pretty early.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like it was a long time ago. And it just literally rejuvenated that game for me. I think it's greatly done. Level 5 are awesome. And it's amazing. Great game. Go check that out. Every single one of those games on that list is just awesome. It was a good year for portables, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There wasn't a game that we mentioned that a person shouldn't buy.
No, not at all.
Kuju Entertainment. That was the people that developed Crush.
Crush? Never heard of them.
Yep, and Sega published it. I don't know anything else that they did, so... Let's see.
94 was Shining Force 2.
Was it 94? Yeah. Wow.
Hooray, internets.
Yes. I love Wikipedia.
14 years ago. That's crazy. Without playing a turn-based strategy game. I don't know, and I like Shining Force 2. I wonder what the hell did it. Something in my mind was just like, I just don't like these games anymore. And I like Shining Force 2. Just didn't play one until Jeanne d'Arc.
I don't know if this is right or not, but it says they did Geometry Wars Galaxies.
Really?
Kuju Entertainment, yeah. I don't know if that's right, but I'm looking. I'm on 1UP, and you know, you pull it up, and they have the developer, and you can click on them, and it gives you all of the games developed by them, and Geometry Wars Galaxies on there.
It is possible.
Crash development reception.
And that wasn't a downloadable, which is why I didn't nominate it.
That was, yeah, it was a retail game.
And that was so stupid of them, too. Just a little sidebar. If they would have put that out on Xbox Live Arcade, PSN, and even Virtual Console, it would have sold, I'd say, like hundreds of thousands more copies. Or more, like,
I agree with that.
100%.
I agree with that. Make it $10 and drop it on Xbox Live or something?
Exactly.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, well, you guys want to take a break, and we'll come back, and we'll do Game of the Year candidates?
Sounds
so
good.
We're out. Yes, I'm so ready for a break.
All right, well, you guys stick around, and when we come back, we're going to do Game of the Year, and then lack of new releases once again, and email, and question of the week. So very stay cool. With us, and we'll be right back.
All right.
This week's episode of Interactive Distractions is brought to you by us. What? You don't think anyone actually pays us to do this shit, do you? We're just three gamers that like to talk about games. A lot. Wish we could get paid for this. Yeah, that'd be sweet.
Should be sweet.
Anyway, enjoy the rest of the show. Hey, guess what? We're back. I bet you're surprised.
Cool. Where am I?
It was touch and go for a second.
I know. I didn't think we were coming back at all. Anyway, we wanted to do a little Game of the Year segment. So
yeah, why not?
The three of us picked out 10 games from the year that we thought were great and were valid nominees for Game of the Year. And we figured we'd go through each one of them one by one and talk about them a little bit. And then at the end, we'll all decide what our personal Game of the Year is. And then the argument will ensue and we'll figure out...
and you guys know, none of us have told each other what we picked for Game of the Year, so it's going to get pretty interesting.
That's right.
If we all pick the same thing, then you guys are shit of luck, and our show's going to end a lot sooner than expected.
That's all for our show today. I can almost guarantee that's not going to happen. I can almost guarantee that's not going to happen.
No.
Well, let's start with... arguably the best Wii title ever, Super Mario Galaxy.
I don't even think that's arguably.
No, you're
that's
right.
Just,
it's not.
That's just hands down.
Hands down, best Wii game ever.
Yeah, the only thing that could come close that we had to take off the list was Resident Evil 4, but it is a remake of a four-year-old game.
Is it that old?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I think it's been four years, probably.
Yeah, it was considered. Resident Evil 4 was considered, along with Metroid Prime 3.
Mm-hmm.
But neither of them made the list, and Super Mario Galaxy definitely did, because it is by far best 3D platform game I've ever played.
Oh, yeah. And it also, because, I mean, Metroid's still Metroid Prime 1, Metroid Prime 2, but just with Wii controls.
Yeah.
Resident Evil 4 with Wii controls.
True.
But Mario Galaxy innovated Mario.
It really did. And a lot of people... I've seen people say that that the Wiimote controls were tacked on in this game.
Really?
Oh yeah, I've seen a couple of people say it, and I have to definitely put that to rest because they are not tacked on at all. I mean, it's very what's the word I'm looking for? It's very intuitive the way you use them, but just a lot of the ways that they interact. Like the little blue stars that he basically grabs onto and use the Wiimote to point at them and say, hey, grab that one, that kind of thing. And the controls just work. They work really well, and it's probably the best use of the Wii controls that I've seen so far.
Yeah.
From that perspective, I agree. I can see where some people are saying that it's tacked on, especially with like the two-player controls. I mean, it's a nice addition; wasn't necessary. It's nice, but you can tell that was just kind of thrown in at the end of it, you know.
But they did a pretty good job of just throwing that in.
Yeah.
Technically, if you ask me, I mean, because there were a couple of times when I was sitting down playing. And, you know, Crystal would just walk over and pick up a Wiimote, and she'd start playing with me. And, you know, she'd grab the stars and freeze enemies for me every once in a while. And there were actually a couple levels where I would have had a lot of trouble if she wasn't there sitting there just freezing the enemies for me.
Yeah. Cool. And any game where you can get your girlfriend, wife, or fiance or anything to pick up a controller and just start playing with you is good.
That I agree with that, exactly. Definitely.
That's definitely a good thing.
Definitely agree with that.
So, super fun. Super Mario Galaxy.
Innovated the genre. Pushed it forward.
That's right.
Deserving nomination.
Raise the bar just a little bit more. Again.
Nintendo. Clap for Nintendo.
All right, now it's time to show some 360 love. Well, not really, because this is multi-platform, but I have it for 360. Sorry. Orange Box.
Nice.
Could not have... I mean, there's no doubting that this should be on game. You could just take Portal. You could pull Portal out of this, and it would be on this list.
You could, yeah.
But just take that with the inclusion of Episode 2 and Team Fortress, and then they threw in Episode 1 and Half-Life 2. I mean, not just for the fact that it's, you know, the best deal in gaming, but I mean, many people say the best first-person shooter ever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I mean, I can't say that for sure because I don't play enough of them.
I wouldn't say best first-person shooter ever just because I play so many first-person shooters, I actually have sub-genres for them. The kind of first-person shooter it's the top, for sure. The only other game like that we'll get to later is it would be in the similar kind of subgenre of shooters for me. We'll get to that later, but that game. But yeah, it's always, even Half-Life 2 still holds up.
Yeah, it does.
I mean, a lot of people would go as far as to say like Portal is the best puzzle game that was out this year too.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
And I would have to argue for Puzzle Quest a little bit in that case. I mean, Portal is just an incredible. It's very innovative, it's a lot of fun, and, you know, it's worth the price of admission. Even if it only takes, you know, 3 or 4 hours to get through the entire game plus the advanced missions.
You know,
it's definitely worth it.
Yeah, definitely. Anyone should pick it up. PS3, PC, 360.
Yeah.
Worth the money. Every game in it's fun.
And don't be afraid for PS3 only owners, don't be afraid to go pick up Orange Box, because...
No. Yeah.
Everything everything is being blown out of proportion from what I understand. Yes, it's better on 360, but that's only because EA is lazy and they didn't
play exactly. it. It's all subjective, too. Like, if you don't play the 360 version and you jump right to the PS3 version, you're not going to give a rat's ass. You're not going to be able to tell. Like, the first time I played Half-Life 2, I didn't play it on a PC. I played it on the original Xbox, and I thought it was great. And then everyone's like, oh, you're that piece of shit port. I'm like, I don't know. I think it's a great game. Yes, it has frame rate issues. I'm talking about the Xbox Half-Life 2, not Orange Box PS3, but some frame rate issues, some problems here and there, but the game was so good, I didn't really care, and I didn't have anything to compare it to, so I thought it was great. And I think a lot of people out there at PS3 will agree that it's still a great game.
I'm going to take back my EA comment and say that Valve is a bunch of bastards because they have such a hatred for the PS3.
They do. Yeah,
it's amazing just how much of a hatred they have for this machine.
Yeah.
And their entire argument is, oh, it's hard to program for. Oh, you fucking pussy. Shut the hell up.
Yeah, what the hell's the guy's name? It's not Carmack. Carmack's the IDE guy, right?
I don't know. I don't remember the guy's name. But he is very adamant about coming out and saying how much he hates the PS3.
Yeah, he said it multiple times.
Yeah. So, EA got it, and they did the best they could, and they did a pretty good job, and from what I understand, there's the only time when there's a lot of frame rate issues is in Episode 2, on the vehicles, and apparently there's a lot of vehicle parts in Episode 2. I haven't gotten that far yet.
No, either way.
I'm still on Half-Life 2. I haven't beaten Half-Life 2 yet, so.
Okay.
All right, moving on.
Yep.
BioShock.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot...
It was the first game early running for Game of the Year. Everyone called it, this is like the next coming of video game Christ that hit, you know, when everyone's game first came out. It's like 10s everywhere, and 9.9, 9.8, and overrated. No, I'm not saying it's overrated in terms of it's a great game, but I think people kind of jumped the gun on that one, saying it is the best game ever created. But it's a great game.
Certainly a very, very high level of polish. And the art direction is superb. It's
soundtrack.
Way above a lot of other games. Yeah, the sound design is just spectacular.
I love the atmosphere that they produced.
Yeah.
That's probably what got me the most about the game. And even though I don't have it yet, I do stress yet because I will buy this game, when I played the demo, and I played the demo multiple times, just the atmosphere of what's the name of the city? Rapture.
Yeah, Rapture.
Rapture. Yeah. Just the atmosphere in general of Rapture is pretty amazing. You know, it's what was it, set in like the 40s, I think, or the 20s?
Yeah, something like that.
And you know, the whole underwater thing, and you know, everything was just very beautiful.
Yeah, and the music is just awesome. Like, you go into a room and the jukebox be playing songs from that time, you're just like, this is just crazy.
Yeah, it's got that grand, like, Art Deco style, but it's scary as hell, too. I mean...
Oh, dude, it's creepy. It's just...
Oh, God.
Yeah, my only...
Go ahead.
I was going to say that my only complaint about the game that I wish... they probably did this on purpose, but the only problem was once you went into Rapture, it was creepy and you felt like a part of this whole city, but at the same time, you just felt... I'm sure they wanted to make it that everyone's just fucking crazy and nuts. I thought it would have been kind of nice to have a few people in there that are just kind of, like, cowering for their lives, kind of scared, kind of like everything's going on, and they're like, what the fuck's going happening kind of thing, where I would have liked that, but I'm sure it's just a design issue where they're just like, yeah, we want everyone in the city to be totally fucked up and crazy and to make the player feel like, okay, where the hell am I? This is ridiculous. Yeah. But it was good stuff. Some crazy plot twist too.
And now I totally forgot what I was going to say.
My bad.
That's my old age kicking in. Don't worry. I'm going to be 32 next month. It's all hitting me here.
You're talking about Rapture, BioShock.
Yeah. I don't know.
It added cool stuff. The plasmids and everything were kind of cool.
I liked the idea that you could hack the bots. That was kind of cool.
That was kind of cool. They give you a lot of options. This is the other game I was going to talk about when I did the whole subgenre thing, is that it's not strictly a first-person shooter. There's kind of puzzles in there. It's kind of like not RP. It's kind of RPG-ish in a sense that you can upgrade your weapons, upgrade your plasmids, like AKA magic. It did a lot of good things.
Yeah, and I remember what I was going to say now, but you guys were talking about that it was freaky and there's, you know, a lot of scary parts to it. It actually got to the point where Crystal said that I'm not allowed to play it when she's around because it freaked her out so badly.
Thanks for that. My big daddy impression. Yeah, my girlfriend said the same thing. She's like, "You're not playing that scary little kid game, are you?"
The little kid game. What was it, Mr. Big Daddy Bubbles. And Little Sister?
Yeah, Little Sisters.
Yeah. Those things in general were creepy enough, man.
Oh, God, yeah.
Walk around with a big fucking syringe. What the hell?
Yeah. Drink him. I'm going to play that.
Next up, we got Call of Duty 4.
Yeah. Call of Duty.
Jeff, I know that you're loving this.
Oh, it's so good. It's so good. Even from like a single-player standpoint, it blew me away. Multiplayer, I honestly had... I did not play Call of Duty 2 multiplayer much at all. I think I played it like 3 or 4 times, and I didn't think I'd care for Call of Duty 4 multiplayer, and I actually didn't want to like it when it was coming out, and everyone was bigging up the multiplayer, and I'm like, oh god, here's another game where everyone's going to jump into multiplayer and totally ignore the single player. Everyone's going to get ridiculously good and kick my ass, and I don't want to have anything to do with it. I just want to play the single player, because all the Call of Duty single players have been awesome. Played through the single player, played multiplayer, can't stop playing multiplayer. Everyone did get really good, like I thought, but it's still fun.
Yeah, but you get to go up levels and all that stuff too, right?
Yeah, so, I mean, I was going to say, that's why it's deserving. It's like basically like an RPG within a first-person shooter in multiplayer, which is really cool. And you get to customize a shit ton of things, what modifications to put on your weapons, what modifications to put on like your arm. Well, not your armor, but your person. Have different all these perks. There's tons of them to choose from, and people look at it and like, oh, it's so overwhelming, but it. You open up stuff relatively fast. The pacing's really good. So right when you're like, oh, I really wish I had something new to open up, next thing you know, you end a battle's like, you've opened up this. And you're like, ah, cool. And you kind of make all your like different custom classes. So depending on your map, you'd be like, I'll be my sniper class this one. And so good.
See, that's something I would think that I would actually play online, just because it's one of those things where, you know, you do go up levels, and it's one of those things that, oh, I'm going to strive for the next level now, and that kind of thing. But... I do have some info for you, Jeff.
Mm-hmm.
I am the proud owner of Call of Duty 4 now.
You? Yeah, right. You bought this. Did you get it for Christmas?
Sorta. I got a $100 gift card to Best Buy, and
Best Buy was first-person shooter.
Yes, I bought a first-person shooter. Yesterday, I went to Best Buy, and they were running some specials. So I got Stranglehold Collector's Edition for PS3
for like $40, right?
$40.
That's not bad.
Not at all. It's a $70 game. I was quite happy. And then they had Call of Duty 4 for $38.
Oh wow!
So I jumped on that. I got $130 worth of games for $80.
You'll like it, dude. If anything, just play the single player just to get to that Chernobyl level that we talked about a couple episodes back.
That's one of the things that I'm really interested in seeing now, because of the pictures that I saw and you saying how accurate it was.
Yeah.
I mean, now it's like...
It's eerie.
It's going to be eerie, yeah. That's what I was thinking. I'm definitely going to play through the single player. I may or may not play through multiplayer depending on how many games I've got, so we'll see.
It's easily the most intense game I've played all year, for sure.
Oh, wow. Okay.
In terms of intensity, it is insane. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about by, like, the second level. You'll be like, holy shit.
Is it your best shooter of the year?
Yeah. It is definitely my best shooter of the year. And that's a lot, because I'm a huge Halo fan.
Yeah, I know. You're one of the biggest that I know. All right. Should we move forward?
Sure.
That's Rock Band.
Rock Band.
Rock Band.
I think I played that.
I think I played it once or twice. Yeah, isn't that the one where you bang and stuff?
I can't find it anywhere.
Hey, what are you gonna get it for?
Fuck, I don't know. Whatever I find it for first at this point, it doesn't really matter. I honestly
not
don't
PS2.
Know.
Not the PS2.
Yeah,
no, not a PS2. I've come to the conclusion it doesn't really matter, honestly. I was thinking 360 first just because, well, it's still kind of because I have the Guitar Hero 3 guitar and it's compatible with it.
Yeah,
and
that's
true. Love the Guitar Hero 3 guitar so much, but you guys have it for PS3 and. The whole, like, I don't know, just it doesn't really matter at this point because I'm not going to play it. Like, a lot of my friends, my actual friends list, don't have the game, so I'm not going to be playing it online too much. And if I have people over, it doesn't really matter what system I bring down to hook up to the TV downstairs, so that's not an issue. It's basically going to come down to which one I find first, I think. So, we'll see.
Well, we'll see about bringing you into our circle of R. I don't know, maybe that'll help you make your decision.
Cool.
But yeah, this definitely belongs on the list. Easily the best rhythm game of the year for me. There's a lot of people out there that would argue Guitar Hero 3. And they have a good argument because Guitar Hero 3 is for the... Jason and I had this conversation earlier. Solely for the guitar, Guitar Hero 3 is a better game.
Yeah.
But, and I think in the drums at all, yeah, Guitar Hero 3 is still like the shit.
The best.
And rock
yeah, it's got band. A wicked... set list yeah, too, the track to list on it. Mm-hmm.
But in general, as an overall package, I think Rock Band beats it.
Yeah.
As you mentioned before, it was the next step, the next evolution in that kind of game.
Exactly.
And, it know, really was the next evolution for...
Mm-hmm. I mean, we started the Rock Band Friday thing, and you know, we've been trying to get each of, you know, all of us together, you know, for a gaming night for years now. You know,
yeah.
So, like, let's all play PSO. Okay, we do that for a little while, but this has been pretty consistent and...
except for the past 3 weeks.
Well, yeah. Holidays and whatnot.
But we're going to start it up again after the new year.
Yeah.
You know?
And everyone likes doing that shit, man.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Drums, guitar, and, singing.
Yeah. And we have, you know, 6-8 people over and, you know, we all just take turns and we switch around instruments and it's a load of fun. Even if you're not that good at one of them, I mean, the game is easy enough to the point where you can play any of them. Any of the instruments on easy and still do pretty well. So
yeah, and it's not like you know you're watching the other person play or anything like that. You just totally zone them out for the most part, unless they're you know singing "Dead or Alive" or something.
Oh God, let's put that out of our head. but yeah, Rock Band definitely best rhythm game, in my opinion, and definitely a good candidate for game of the year. Moving on, Halo 3.
Yeah.
How, even though I personally have not played it,
I played a little bit. You know what? And it's Halo, and it's solid.
It's definitely Halo.
I mean, the multiplayer aspects are top notch. I cannot debate that at all, and certainly deserves you know a Game of the Year nod.
For
that alone, the game is huge and it's got such a huge following and it's for a reason. It's a damn good game.
It's a good, solid game. It's the most, in terms of what you're getting from multiplayer, it is the best package you're getting. I mean, Call of Duty 4, I have been having more fun, but when you look at the overall multiplayer package, Halo 3 offers tons more than Call of Duty 4. Sure, it doesn't have the leveling up and the customization in terms of your actual characters, but it has more customization in terms of game types, map design, so forth. And but I mean, it's just so well balanced. There's like vehicles, big maps, small maps, so many good game types. It's just, it's unbelievable. And if I were to give a game best sound, Halo 3 would take it hands down. It is so good with sound. It's so good. Oh, wow. You know how a lot of games fake that whole atmospheric sound? Like when you play Warhawk, and I found this out when I was bored trying to get into games that I couldn't get into with my friends. I went into, created a game by myself, just started, you know, walking around the map. But you can still hear gunfire in the distance, and you can hear like missiles going off, but there's no one else in my map, so I know this isn't going on. It's actually kind of like a faked ambience kind of thing.
Gotcha.
In Halo 3, it's real. That all those sounds are real time. So when you hear, if someone's far away and they fire a rocket launcher or like a sniper, you hear it in the distance, but it's not just like a faint sound of that, the same sound effect that's used if you're close up. It's actually a totally different sound that it makes, but you can just, you can be like, you can hear the shot and be like, that's a sniper rifle. But you can also pinpoint the, where it's coming from, and like say you can, like, it's just awesome how they made these different sound effects all in real time that you're actually hearing. So like you can walk out, you say you respawn, you're like, okay, where's all the action at, without looking at your radar, you can hear it in the distance, and just so well, it's done so well, you can tell what weapons are being fired, what grenades are blowing up. It's just, it's awesome.
Like, do you have a surround sound set up in your room?
I do, yes, yeah.
You do? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I wonder if that translates to, you know, just regular joint stereo.
Oh, I don't know. I've never played it.
You can fake kind of 3D effects in stereo.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you probably could, yeah. It's not necessarily the 3D aspect, though. It's just the whole depth of it all. Like, you can hear these guns firing off like 100, like half a mile in the distance, and you can tell, be like, that's a Spartan laser. Oh, shit, someone has a Spartan laser. You're like... Uh-huh. Should I go out there? You can hear sniper fire. Like, it sounds like a... You can hear the crack of, like basically, it's... Like, you know when you're watching something, say you're watching from a distance, someone play baseball, you see the person swing the bat, then you see them hit the ball, then the sound doesn't hit you for, like, a second. It's to that effect where you can see the trail of the sniper, and then all of a sudden you hear, like, the crack of it, crack the air, and, like, it's just... It's awesome. It's so well done.
Hmm. I didn't know that. See, that's kind of cool.
I didn't play it enough.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
I can't say enough about how important sound is to a game.
Oh, I agree, 100%.
It's the mood, and especially with really nice polished touches like that.
Yeah, it's little things that a lot of people probably wouldn't even notice. But yeah, it's a great game. Halo, it's Halo. Play it again, like it is Halo. But it does push it forward. It's better than Halo 2 by far. Halo 2 wasn't the greatest game ever to me, anyway, in terms of first-person shooters. But it deserves to be on there. It sucks that you guys aren't into first-person shooters, because it would be cool to pwn you noobs.
Oh, God. Someone's been on the interwebs a little too much today.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Pwn noobs for two.
Lol.
Ruffle mouth.
Don't. You just got our 26 listeners.
Oh, well, come on. I'm totally posting that video on the site. I am totally posting that video on the site.
Oh, shit.
Have you seen that, Jeff?
Which one?
The Ruffle Mal WoW video?
I don't know. I don't think so. I probably have. Is it old? Like, within the last, like, 2 years?
Yeah, it's within the last year or so, I think.
I've probably seen it. I can't quite recall. I've seen a bunch of internet videos in my day.
That's good stuff.
I just watched Two Girls, One Cup a couple weeks ago. That was kind of gross.
A little bit.
I was tricked into...
Isn't that what David posted, Jason?
We'll put it in the show notes. We'll post the video in the show notes. How about that?
Are we sure we want to do that?
You don't want to post that one.
No,
that's fine.
No, one of our buddies, David, posted this on the adult forum of our of Pakotaku. Basically the title said, "Do not click this link." That was the
don't
name
push
of the
this
topic.
Button.
Do not click this link.
Yeah,
and people would click it, and they'd say, "Oh, why did I click that?" Yeah, it's bad.
It's probably the same thing.
I haven't looked at it yet.
I heard about it like for the last like month, and then all of a sudden I was like, we're all at a party, and this guy kept talking about it. I'm like, fine, I'll check this out. It can't be that bad. And then It was just disturbing as fuck.
How the hell did we digress into this?
I have no idea. How did Halo 2 turn into crapping into a cup? Okay, let's...
Ruffle now.
Maybe it's a sign.
Alright, let's move on.
I'm uber geet. Sorry. next on the list is some PS2 love. God of War 2.
Yeah.
Dude, Jeff, you were cheering like that a lot.
Oh, the last few games, yeah. God of War 2.
God of War 2, I will personally give my best action game.
Oh,
straight up action game is best action game of the year.
Me too, hands down.
I loved Heavenly Sword, but it didn't come close.
Nope.
It really didn't. It was not a God of War. It was fun, but it wasn't God of War.
No. God of War is God of War.
I couldn't believe just, like, the scale of just, like, the epic boss battles and, you know, fighting Zeus and, you know, I mean, that just that entire, the I don't even know how to explain it. That's how good it was for me. I mean, I played it straight through. It was like Uncharted was for me. I would come home, I would play this game, and then it'd be time to go to bed.
Yep.
And I'd wake up and I'd go to work and I'd come home and I'd play this game.
Yep.
And you know, it only took me like 3-4 nights to beat it because I was doing that, but I could not stop playing it. And when it ended, I was so sad that it ended. I was like, no, it can't be over. Why is it over? And now that is probably my most anticipated game now is God of War 3. I really, really want it to hurry up and come out.
Chains of Olympus.
I want it to be good. Chains of Olympus in March, and I'm really excited about that. Did you get your demo?
No, I haven't yet. I'm gonna give BSV shit.
BSV, get on it, man. What's up?
Yeah. Hope it didn't get lost. I appreciate you sent it, but if it got lost, I'm gonna be quite mad.
If he backs out, I can probably hook you up.
Cool. I'll let you know in the next if I don't get it like in the next couple weeks or week and a half or so.
Let me know.
I am hoping though that God of War 3, I'm hoping it does push the envelope a little bit more. Just because like God of War 2, in retrospect, is God of War 1, but everything tightened up with a little bit of new stuff added. I'm kind of hoping they go a little bit different direction in 3 just to kind of add some spice to it. Not that it totally needs it, but depending on how Chains of Olympus compares to the other two, it might kind of... And it's like blasphemy here, it's my favorite franchise, but if it's the same thing, 1, 2, Chains of Olympus, and then 3, I don't know. We'll see. But it is my most anticipated.
The sex scene was way better than 2, so...
That's right, because there was 4 boobies. Oh wait, there was 4 boobies in 2. That's right.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Oh, awesome game! I can't believe it's being so much overlooked because it came out in what, February?
Well, it's because it came out in like March, I think, and plus it's for PS2, and it's like nobody wants to name a game a PS2 game of the year, and that's a shame.
Is there a shame?
Except for Evil Pirate John on GLF, he's got his game of the year as God of War 2, and I gotta. Applaud him for that. Way to go, man. But yeah, God of War 2 definitely belongs at least on the nominee list, and I can't believe anybody that wouldn't put that on there because it's just a phenomenal game.
It is,
and I'm really hoping that I'm not sure how they would do it, but I would really love to see them do I'm sure everybody's pretty much beat it by now. So, but at the end when you see him on the Titan, there's this image of my head of God of War plus Shadows of Colossus now.
Oh, like huge. Oh, yeah. Well,
could you imagine that? I mean,
that would be kind
of
cool.
I would go nuts over that. It's like, hey, Shadows of Colossus with other plot besides just going and killing Colossi. So, you know, but I did love Shadow of Colossus, but that's one of the things that came to my head when I saw the ending for the game. When he was on the back of the Titan, I was like, oh, that would be awesome.
That would be awesome. Can't wait.
Next up is my current addiction. Mass Effect.
Mass Effect, oh yeah. Good stuff.
Yes, and we've all played it. Jason, how far are you?
Not as far as I'd like to be. I'm still hung up. Before I hit like the next planet, I'm scouring the universe. Like, I'm doing all the other side planets to get that shit out of the way.
Well, see, that's what I'm doing, too. That's what I did,
I keep making trips back to the Citadel to pick up new quests and whatnot. I'm going for like 150% completion. I've set my own goals. So.
I see. Anyway. I've actually
got... If there's any one game that's really pushed the boundaries as far as storyline is concerned, it's definitely Mass Effect.
Yeah.
You know, this game is proven that this generation is capable of really multi-layered, dynamic storytelling. And not just in a text format, you know, complete audio dialogue. It's great. Yeah. And that's what's really, really gripping me, and that's extremely immersive to me.
Yeah, I agree.
Kind of storytelling. You know, I can take or leave the combat. There's certainly technical glitches, but
oh yeah,
if it's done anything, you know, it's turned the industry kind of on its ear and said, holy shit, they put some work into that.
It's taken that gap that Hideo Kojima has wanted to do for the past 8 years,
yeah,
and just basically molded it together between movies and video games. Was like, this is how it should be done, mm-hmm. And because I don't know, no, that's not a knock about Metal Gear Solid, because that's totally different. But everyone knows that Hideo wanted to be a movie director, and mm-hmm. he went into video games and he's trying to do the whole movie video game thing. But literally,
was that a direct quote?
That was a direct quote, yes.
Cool. And was it? And was that in Japanese, or was it
translation? Translation is metal. Like, the problem with, like, people always say movies, video games, Metal Gear Solid. No, that's literally watching a movie, then playing part of a video game. Watching a movie, playing part of a video game. Mass Effect combines the two.
An important thing to note is that, you know, Hideo Kojima is a great storyteller in himself, but the difference in Mass Effect is that the storyline is dynamic. I mean, yes, you've got your point A and point B, mm-hmm. but everything in the middle is completely different depending on the choices that you take.
Yeah.
It's not as, you know, deep as maybe I'm making it, but you know, we've mentioned this several times before, is that, you know, one person will get scripted events that the other person doesn't get. Yes. And you get a totally different game because of that, I think.
And yeah. I can see how that would happen with where I am right now, because there's a couple of things that there's like you need to get like a pass to get into a garage, and there's two or three different ways that you can get it. You know, and I could see how, you know, the way that you get it would definitely affect the outcome of that that part of the storyline. So,
Chris, you're coming up to Vermeer soon, right?
That is the next storyline. I'm at Novaris right now.
This is the next main story planet.
I've already done Pharos. I've already picked up the biotic chick and the blue chick. And now I'm in Novaris, and then the next one is the one that you just mentioned.
Yeah, when you go to Vermeer, you're going to have this pretty serious decision, which is totally changes, like, the game for some people, so...
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, I have to... I've done the whole game pretty much goody-two-shoes. I'm about... you know, they've got, like, the Paragon bar, and I think mine is filled about 65 to 70% Paragon. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's getting up there, and I don't have any of the Renegade bar filled. I think I've gotten like I think I've gotten like two or three
Take
Renegade
off
points.
Your skirt, pull up some pants.
No, then I actually if I play it through again, which I probably will, I'm probably going to do a biotic, and it'll be a chick, and she'll be a Renegade. Nice. I think that's what I'm going to do.
I don't even
it.
Think you have it in you.
Yeah.
It's hard, man. It's hard because it's like, this is going against
it. I get rewards for video game characters. Is that wrong? Like, when I played that game, I was like, whenever I did something bad, I felt like I was being an asshole. I'm like, okay, Jeff, these people aren't real. Seriously, dude, who cares? But they'll be mad at me. Like,
they'll be mad at me. I don't want to disappoint them.
But he helped me out on this planet.
Jeff, he didn't
really
help you on this planet.
Okay.
Oh, did you guys get your, what is it, your advanced class, I think?
Hmm?
How did you play through it the first time, Jeff?
What do you mean, how?
What was your class? What did you
choose
to
be? Oh, I played Vanguard.
Vanguard. Okay. Yeah. Because I was a, I started out as a soldier, and I finished a submission, I finished one of the side missions, And then it gave me, it was like, oh, you've unlocked your advanced classification. I was like, oh, what's that mean? And I could be either a commando or a shock trooper. And it gives you different abilities. So the soldier, like the bar on your level up screen, on your squad screen, the soldier bar turns into either shock trooper or commando.
Yeah. Oh, that's pretty cool.
And I was like, hey.
I've done that, actually. I forgot which way I went, though.
I think it was the moon mission. That's what did it for me.
There's a couple different moons that I've been to already. There's the Earth moon, then there's another.
The Earth moon is the one I'm talking about.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the Earth moon is the one that opened up, because that was one of the side missions I did. I didn't do because that's one of the different space stations on the moon. Like, there's four stations, right?
Holy shit. Like three. Red hole.
Sorry, yeah, true. Sorry. True. We'll talk about Mass Effect features sometime in the future where you talk spoiler-free about
after,
all of our stories.
Yeah, after we've all finished it and...
By spoiler-free, sorry, I meant actual spoilers. We'll just be like, fuck it. Who cares about everyone else?
Spoiler-laden.
we'll label the show, when we do that, we'll label the show Mass Effect Spoiler Show or something like
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
Anyway, moving on. So Mass Effect is awesome. We know this. Mm-hmm. The next game is Uncharted.
My new love.
Jeff loves this list.
Oh, it's great. Every single one of these games is kick-ass.
Yeah, it really is.
It was the hardest year ever. I'm not going to lie to you. It was the hardest year ever for me to pick a favorite game. Like, last year, it was fucking easy. There's, like, one game last year. I'm like, okay, Gears of War, hands down. I can't tell, like, what one of the year before that, but...
You know, there's only two games on this list that I don't have.
And they're Halo 3 and... Let me guess, we'll end... Oh, Bioshock,
that's right. Yeah. But I am going to get that Bioshock. I probably will not get Halo 3, though.
Mm-hmm. Understandable. But yeah, Uncharted blew me away.
Uncharted is yep. I would put this out of the games on our list. I would say this is... I'm not going to say by far, because it's not by far, but it is the best graphically, in my opinion.
Agreed.
I'm with you. It is gorgeous. And yes, the lighting effects are...
And it's so consistently looking.
And Jason, you've only played the demo.
Right.
So wait until you play the game.
That definitely grabbed me, is how dynamic the lighting system is. And that's tough to do.
Yeah.
It is very tough to do. Especially when this is kind of what one of the things that hurt Mass Effect for me is the fact that I played Uncharted first. Mm-hmm. And the shadows and the lighting on Uncharted are so good. And then you play Mass Effect and it's like, oh man.
They look like ass.
Hey, look, the shadows are like ass. Little pixel dots. It's like a big group of little... It's like dust. That's what it looks like. It looks like dust. But yeah, Uncharted was... I mean, I still want to go back and play it. And I'm going to... I told Jason I was going to be a prick and that I was going to let him borrow Uncharted. And when he got to like chapter 11, I was going to take it back.
Like, you know, I'm going to be like, it. You know,
every time you talk to Jason, he's like,
for like weeks.
I was going to say, every time you talk to Jason, he'd be like, I'm on chapter two. Leave me alone. I'm on chapter two.
I'm not quite there yet, Chris.
Yeah, he'll get to like chapter.
Yeah, he's played through three times.
Yeah. But we'll do the show, and like Thursday, he'll be on chapter four.
Yeah.
And then Friday, he'll bring the game in. Hey, I beat it. Yeah, definitely. The plot twist at the end was it was well explained.
Mm-hmm.
I'll put it that way. And you haven't gotten to that point yet, so I don't want to spoil anything. But the plot twist was well explained. It basically combines a lot of different games into one. I would say four different games into one, and does a pretty good job of it.
Cool.
And the combat was fun, as you said earlier. And the platforming was fun, and it wasn't too easy, and it wasn't too hard, you know?
That's good balance.
Yeah, definitely a good balance. Last and not least, Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah.
What was that? Not too much enthusiasm behind that one, huh?
Well, I guess it's probably because we've had, you know, Ratchet and Clank, when it first came out, was, you know, it was amazing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a very good platformer. It's visually stunning.
Yeah.
But now it's like Mario Galaxy has come out, and Mario Galaxy is a better platformer. But and Uncharted's come out, and visually Uncharted's better.
Trumps it.
But it doesn't take away from the fact that
it's a good game.
Yeah, Ratchet and Clank is a great game, and it's a must have for any PS3 owner.
Yep. 100%. That's the hardest part about this list.
Do you think?
What's that?
Best platformer on the PS3.
Oh, yeah, hands down, no doubt.
I don't even know what else I would put in there.
There you go.
But yeah, definitely best platformer. That's the hard part. This whole list is they're all must have games. If you have there's not one game on this list that would be like, yeah, don't bother with that game. Or that I wouldn't be like, rent it. Every single game on here is a buy, in my opinion. Unless you totally hate a genre. That's the only way I'd be like, okay, I understand you won't like it.
Right, and which is where I fall in of why I don't have Halo 3 or Bioshock. But I do have Call of Duty 4 now, so I can say
exactly.
That.
Good on you.
But yeah, Ratchet & Clank it's a game that I know that I will go back to, even though I haven't played it in a while. And I know I'm going to end up beating it eventually, because it's just fun. You can just go back to it. And this is one of the things that you said a few shows ago, that it's real easy to just pick up and play like a few levels and then just stop. And then you come back to it later and do that again.
You don't have to worry about getting lost or what you're doing. You don't have to worry about any of that kind of thing. But storyline, really, you just kind of pick it up whenever the hell you want to.
Yep. All right, so that's our list. I'll go down it real quick just to recap. Super Mario Galaxy, Orange Box, Bioshock, Call of Duty 4, Rock Band, Halo 3, God of War 2, Mass Effect, Uncharted, and Ratchet & Clank.
Such a sexy-looking list.
It is a sexy list. Yeah, it is. It's better than most of the nomination lists that are out there in the press today. So.
Yes, of course. Give us a big pat on the back.
All right, guys. Game of the year. What is
it? Are we going to do this? Are we seeing them all at once?
Yeah, let's do it all at once.
Do it. Because, we will have the same game, right? We'll have no problem with this.
Oh, absolutely. Wait, didn't we decide this as a group earlier?
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, whatever. We'll figure it
and
out.
And the game of the year is...
Strawberry Shortcake.
Mass Effect. Whoa, that's three different games, I think.
Did you say Strawberry Shortcake?
I didn't even.
All right, we will be taking applications for a third spot on the show. Fired.
One just opened up.
Send those to Chris at... No. Jason, right.
Mine,
here.
Mine was Portal.
Oh, it was?
Wow,
okay, cool.
You took
so
Portal.
Orange Box.
I took Portal.
All right, wow. So we have
changed.
Three different...
This changed from like last night.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I had something...
What was your runner-up?
Bioshock.
Oh, okay, nice.
Bioshock, simply because of... it's a great technical achievement, both in art style, art design, sound design, atmospheric-wise. The game's just, like, highly polished. There's a lot of love that went into it, and, you know, really immersive. So, but it changed last night after I watched my son play through Portal.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got to kind of, you know, see the outside view, and I was just blown away first by just... There's different ways of going through each level. You know,
oh, absolutely.
Most puzzle games, it's very linear, you know, how you get to your point B. But the reason that I chose it for Game of the Year is because it's created so much buzz in the industry. It was extremely innovative. It took everybody by surprise. It's a lot of humor, wit, and I don't know. I can't say enough good about it, you know. I listen to the end song constantly.
I still haven't heard it yet. See, I hate you, Jay, because I can't even argue that. Like, I expect you to say a game, like a retail game that, you know, wasn't the same as mine, be like, this is why it isn't Game of the Year, blah, blah. But everything, Portal is Game of the Year material. I can't argue with that. Like, the only reason I couldn't pick Portal is because I looked at the whole Orange Box as a package, and I can look at every game individually and be like, hey, this is the best game of the year. Yeah. That's the only thing I could say, but yeah, Chris, anything?
If there was a big surprise hit, Portal. I'm sorry, I don't know.
I can't argue. I mean, that's it's a solid choice, and I can't. I mean, Portal was. I've been saying it since I bought it. Portal is worth the price of admission. It's 4 hours long, and it's still worth the price of admission.
Yeah.
I mean, I had so much fun with it that I can't say enough good things about it. It's not my game of the year. But that's not to say it's not close. I mean, every game that's on this list, with the exception of maybe BioShock, Call of Duty, and Halo 3, because I haven't played them, but every game on this list, it's here because I can't say enough good things about them, because they're so much fun to play.
Actually, thinking back, the reason why I wouldn't pick this game of the year is because replay value is huge for me, and I honestly can't see myself playing through it again.
I can see myself doing the challenge stages.
I don't even know what those are yet, so that's why.
I can always pick it up, but I didn't choose it for its replay value. I think I chose it more because it's so innovative, and it really made people sit up and take notice about innovation in game design. You know, how something that was just essentially supposed to be filler for the orange box turned out to be like the surprise hit.
Yeah,
that's very true.
Jeff, you said Mass Effect.
I did say Mass Effect.
I'm surprised.
And yeah, this, me too.
You got to talk me into this one.
This is going to be hard to convince me, because even though I'm loving the game, I don't see it.
Okay, what did you guys think I was going to pick? I think I have a feeling what I think Chris thought I was going to pick.
I honestly didn't know what you were going to pick. Yeah. I mean, if I was to say, okay, what's he going to pick? It would probably be a toss up between like God of War, or Call of Duty.
Call of Duty. Okay.
Yeah.
It literally took me up until almost right before we started recording the show what my game of the year was, because I changed it around about four times today. Sitting at work, I knew what we were doing. I'm like, oh crap, okay, what is actually my game of the year? And it went between God of War 2, Mass Effect, Uncharted, and Call of Duty 4. Those are like the four main ones. I was like, okay, this is why I eliminated God of War 2. I think it was definitely probably second place. It's one of my favorite games of all time. But in the end, it is just like God of War 1, just better. Like, they just tighten up everything. You know, great storyline, everything. Different storyline. It's great. But it is the same thing. They didn't push the genre forward. Nothing new. It did great things for the PS2, but, you know, we're in this gen now, like the next gen. It didn't push forward the series at all in terms of, like, technology or even gameplay. It added a few things here and there. So I couldn't give it to that. Call of Duty 4, basically, this wasn't a shooter year for me, even though I bought all the shooters, having a lot of fun with them. I'm at the point now where I'm like, I still wanted something new this year, so I was looking for something kind of new, something different. And this is where the hardest part came in, is because I just started playing Uncharted yesterday, and I'm not that far into it, so I didn't want to give it the hands-down, like, game of the year or anything like that. But, again, those two things I mentioned earlier, the whole shooting thing and the whole pacing of it, scares me. And I think if the pacing was done just a little bit differently, it could have been my game of the year. I know it's kind of like a little thing to nitpick, but pacing is the most important thing for me in gaming. Like, pacing and it's like replayability and like just addiction factor, like how addicted I get to a game. And that was Mass Effect. I have not been this involved in an RPG since KOTOR. And that says something, since that was the same developers, BioWare. Mm-hmm. And just talking to you, Chris, like today, you were mentioning, like, I've beaten the game. You haven't beaten the game yet. Yeah. And you're talking about all these things I haven't even experienced yet. Yeah. I didn't even know you can get Spectre weapons. I had no clue. I didn't know you can open up a secondary class.
Yeah.
I had no clue about any of these. And I'm thinking, like, this is the first RPG I've played in years. Actually, first RPG ever, that literally when I beat the game the first time, I started up a new game with a new character. And because of that is because everybody I've talked to has had a different experience than me. And I think that is huge for gaming. Like, it's not just replayability, go find these rings, go find these orbs, you know, get 110 completion by, you know, checking every little corner of every level to find these little trinkets that really do nothing. But when I know I play a game a second time and change my decisions, it's going to make the game different. Like, literally different. Like, some things won't even happen. I'll see new things. Jay was saying, it changed storytelling in video games. Like, they set the bar, like, ridiculously high.
With that. I have to say one thing with the storytelling of Mass Effect, and the production value and the acting in Mass Effect, Uncharted, and Heavenly Sword.
Yeah.
I mean, people are just going to. I mean, there's a new standard now, because of these three games, that just how well and it, you know, granted the story may not have been as dynamic and as Mass Effect. But you cannot deny how well Heavenly Sword and Uncharted were acted out.
Oh, God, no, not at all. But the thing difference between Heavenly Sword and Uncharted is it's a linear line of story.
Exactly.
There's no branching whatsoever.
Right.
And that's the thing. It's like in KOTOR, they did the same kind of things as Mass Effect, where you got to choose different things to say, but you really had no effect on the actual story. It was still basically a linear story. You just chose what to do in what order. Where this, and you'll see, especially for the first time, Chris, that Vermeer planet, you actually get to make some decisions that change the story. And you're going to be like, holy shit. And it's like decisions where you're like, you actually sit there and think. You're like, oh crap, what do I do? Like, you did that one, you'd already done the planet where the alien race is on, right? And you have to choose whether or not to, you've done that, the whole like insect things? Have you done that yet? Yeah, you must have. Or maybe you're on that planet now. Actually, you're on that planet now. I was going to say, that's a pretty
big decision. Thanks.
No spoiler, but there's a kind of big decision there, but it doesn't compare to some of the stuff that happens later on in the game. Okay. And yes, when you look at the whole overall picture that BioWare said they were going to do, it's kind of disappointing in that, okay, they left... Yeah, but you can't...
See, I didn't even... This is one of those games that I didn't want to be spoiled by it. So I didn't read anything about it. I didn't watch anything about it. I didn't watch any videos. I basically heard what other people said when they said, oh my god, it's awesome. And I went out and I bought it and I played it. And that's pretty much where I was.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's the thing. Another thing, it's pushed the envelope of RPGs to the point that I think casual, not necessarily casual gamers, but other type of gamers who don't necessarily like RPGs will play. Like a couple people I know bought the game not liking RPGs, but because the battle system in it is real-time and third-person shooter, even though it's not the best shooter in the entire world, it's actually not even close, but because it is playable and it's a way of people to play a game similar to the kind of genres they like shooters and third-person shooters, they just love the game. They might not get the best out of it in terms of the actual storyline doing all the side quests, but it made people pick up the game. Like, it sold ridiculous amounts for an RPG and a new IP in its first week, like off the chart, and that's unheard of. Everyone was afraid it wasn't going to sell shit.
I will say something that I truly, truly, truly love about this game, and I will say this about every RPG that does this, and another RPG that did this was Rogue Galaxy, which is one of my favorite RPGs of all time. People not in your squad get experience points. God, I cannot tell you how important that is.
Yeah.
I don't understand why fucking Square, of all people, who has more experience in role-playing games than anyone else, it's like, you have 3 people in your party, but the other 18 that you have over here don't get any experience points.
Yeah.
It's so annoying.
Yeah.
And I think Rogue Galaxy did it right, because the people that aren't in your party get like 2/3 the experience of everybody else. But with the way Mass Effect does it, it's kind of like you have to do it the way they did it. It's like everyone goes up the same, you know, everyone levels up the same amount.
And you'll see why soon.
Oh, really? Okay.
There's kind of a reason, I think, for that. We'll discuss it after you beat the game, but...
Fair enough.
It's, it was my game of the year. I mean, I've every single day, I woke up early in the morning to play it, went home, like, right from work. Like, no matter what, if I had, like, 20 minutes, even though, like, usually games like to have a couple hours like that to play through, even though I tried to have it that way, I'd still play it for half an hour here and there and start it again right away. And that's just haven't had a feel like that before. And Uncharted, as much as I love it, that's probably if I beat Uncharted, that would probably be most likely the runner up. I think it would probably be, if I had to rank them, it would be Mass Effect and probably Uncharted. But
I think as you get as you go progress through Uncharted, you're going to like it more. I don't know if it will overcome Mass Effect. But
Mass Effect
you
just
will
blew my.
Yeah, you will. It will solidify its runner-up spot. I promise you that.
And the thing is, for Mass Effect 2, sorry, I'm taking forever here, but for Mass Effect 2, they're saying that basically, if you have your save game, it's going to continue off from the.
Oh yes, I heard that. I'm excited about that.
Pull that off. That step right there automatically innovates them enough to be like, holy shit, Mass Effect 2 is unbelievable. If they actually stick to it, that would mean every single person's game will start off 100% different from the other person.
That is true.
Like, that is fucking. If they pull that off, I'm just. Oh, yeah,
that would be amazing.
That'd be awesome. But that's my justification.
Jeff, I agree with all of your points, and Mass Effect will definitely go down in, you know, my all-time top, you know, 5 or 10 or something. The only reason why I don't think it's like game of the year, like absolute, is because it's not for everybody. You know, mean, I agree it pushes boundaries with the storyline, but I mean there's some very glaring technical flaws and
that's my reasoning for sure.
It's very storyline laden. Like just during our break actually I was kind of suggesting games for my son to play, and I was just going through everything and I'm like, you play Mass Effect? I'm like, no, actually you'd probably hate that because there's lots of story and a lot of action. So yeah, I don't think it's
yeah, especially at the beginning. It's really hard to you know.
But like I said, like it hasn't made that move yet, but it's been a slight move where it's so easy to interact with the character, so easy to advance a storyline. You're doing it on your own terms, who you want to develop, who you want to talk to. And it's done, like, the whole dialogue mechanism works so well. Mm-hmm. I've seen it, like, it gets more casual gamers into liking that kind of stuff. I'll call it, like, it could be, like, another entry drug since Final Fantasy VII into RPGs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because Final Fantasy VII seemed to be, like, a game everybody picked up. Of course, they did the whole bait and switch where it was, like, this ridiculous action game. Then they're like, what the fuck is this? I have to read?
Mm-hmm.
And this is kind of like the thing where since then, I think a lot of people are just going to, I think we're going to see more ways of games like this.
Yeah. You definitely can choose your own level of interaction. You know, your mm-hmm. roommate played through it in like, what, 6 to 8 hours or something like that?
Yeah, my friend did. Yeah, it was
20 hours or so.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I'm at 21, something like that. So.
Yeah. And I think I'd be
there. I'm also a save whore. I've got like 130, I'm on like save 138 or something like that.
Oh, for real? I've got like 30 or something like that.
Well, I'm that guy that every time I walk up to a crate, I save. And then I try and open it, and if I fail, I just reload.
Yeah, nice. Well, Mass Effect is doing that too, because again, with his old technical problems, it has the worst saving system on the face of the planet. The worst autosave system.
Yeah.
But, technical issues, like, I can't... Like I said, it comes down to basically fun factor and how much, like, it immersed me in a game, how much I love the game, addicted to it, and technical issues aside, I had to pick it. I was like, it's like I said, it wasn't even like a runaway. It was like so close between those four games, like so close. Depending on my mood, I might pick an entirely different game tomorrow. Like it all depends.
I'm with Jason on this one. The only thing that stops me from picking Mass Effect is the technical issues, and it's like at the beginning when I was just about to leave the Citadel, and I went through like 45 minutes of running around and talking to everybody, and then the game froze up. I was like, fuck.
Yeah, see, I didn't have one problem, but then again, I didn't put 21 hours. I was only 13.
It's frozen up on me probably 3 times so far.
Yeah, see, I guess
and it's quite annoying. And then the frame rate drop has interfered with gameplay a couple times for me. So.
And the graphics are very inconsistent. Have you guys noticed, like, I know we argued about this on the boards, like with BSV and a couple others, saying that the graphics seem consistent. I'm pretty sure that the graphics, when you're actually on the Normandy, walking around talking to people, are a lot better than when you're walking around the planets talking to people.
Oh, I would agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, the resolution, lighting, textures, everything. It just seems like they put so much more effort into that in the Citadel.
Sometimes there's just so much bloom going on. It's hard to ignore, you know? But, I would agree with that. And the graphics are good, but they are not where I thought they were going to be.
I think they are the best on a console in terms of the conversations when you're talking to people and you're choosing what you want to talk to. In terms of interactive cutscenes, so to speak, I think they're the best a console has seen. Like, Uncharted. Heavenly Sword has probably the best looking facial graphics or character graphics ever. But then again, those are all pre-rendered, and you don't get to choose anything in it. And even the QuickTime, people say, well, you have the QuickTime events where you hit X, Y, that's totally different than you're watching these characters animate based on what you say, and it's not cutting in and out of if you go from gameplay footage for gameplay to CG in Heavenly Sword, you notice a big difference. There's not a huge difference in Mass Effect when you're walking around and then you go to talk to people.
There's something that bothers me about some of this. When you're in conversations, I hate how choppy it is. When you go from one thing to say to the next, because there was actually one time when I walked up to the bar in the Citadel, and I walked up to the bartender, and the bartender said something to me, and I immediately turned around and said goodbye, and he went from standing, all of a sudden to sit in a sitting position, getting up from the bar. I'm like, what the fuck was that?
Well, yeah, that happens. But I'm talking more actual graphics. I'm like, mostly facial animations and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's very well done. I won't say that. I mean, I still don't think it's It's not where I thought it was going to be.
Yeah. Well, they definitely downgraded since the first videos they showed.
Yeah.
That's for sure. But that would be my pick.
And what was your runner-up? Oh, your runner-up was Uncharted.
Toss-up between Uncharted and God of War 2.
Right, okay.
And Call of Duty 4.
And Halo 3 and Bioshock. Okay. Mine was
Uncharted.
The only
reason I didn't pick Bioshock, sorry, was just because it didn't hold my interest as long as I thought it would.
Yeah.
I still have to go back to it, but yeah. As we were. Chris.
Mine was Uncharted, and I'm sure that's not much of a surprise to anybody who listens to the show. Because I bragged about that game for like 3 weeks straight. And yeah. I still feel that it's worthy of the title Game of the Year for me. And
yeah.
And my runner-up was Super Mario Galaxy, just because of how immersed I was in the game. And if I had to pick one behind Super Mario Galaxy, it would be Mass Effect. So, because I am having a lot of fun with that. All three of those games, really, I mean, it's gotten to the point where I want to play them all the time. And
yeah.
It was like that with Uncharted, it was like that with Super Mario Galaxy, and then it's been like that with Mass Effect.
Yeah.
So, but see, Uncharted still gets it.
That's where it's so tough, where you have three people with pretty much drastically different tastes in what the main genres of gaming we like, to pick a game of the year, like, cohesively. It's almost impossible, because all the flaws I see with Uncharted, you're not going to see those because you're not a big shooter fan. So it's like, and if there was any, like, say there was any big issues with Uncharted with platforming, which there isn't, well, I believe you if you said there was or wasn't, but you said there isn't any, I probably wouldn't notice because I'm not huge into platforming games or, you know, action adventure. So it's kind of like, if we were the same, well, that doesn't make sense, Jeff. I was going to say, if we were the same person, we probably would have both picked Uncharted, but no shit.
You think? Wow. That's very observant of you there, Jeff.
But no, basically, if I wasn't a huge shooter fan, Uncharted could have easily been, you know, right up there. And
yeah.
You know, but
I understand what you're saying.
But yeah, that's so we got Uncharted, Mass Effect, and Portal.
Yeah, that's
cool.
Three pretty good. I'm glad we all had something different though. That's
the only thing that the only thing that totally fucked people up was we had a fourth person that was like only first person shooter fan. They were like Halo 3. Like okay, all right, well. All right, four totally different games. And all right, guys, well,
you
know,
RPG faggots.
Faggots. Oh jeez.
Well, that's our Game of the Year segment.
That's cool. It. So there you go.
And this is why we didn't do, best graphics and best sound. Because
it would have been
taken
here
forever.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to what's next?
Hold up, actually. I mean, we're past 2 hours right now.
Yeah,
we,
I know.
Do you want to save emails for the next show?
How many emails do we have?
We only have one email this time, so we could easily save it for next show.
Yeah,
and it was basically hate mail for me. But I guess we can save it for next show. So we could wrap it up. I know we're at 2 hours right now, and I know that people that are listening are probably
like,
when will it end? So yeah. New releases, there are none again. So
yay.
There you go. Emails, we'll get to those. We'll get to the one that we'll get to my hate mail next week. Do you want to go through the question of the week, or do you want to go through that next week too?
We'll go through that next week too. Give people an opportunity. To
because everyone was on holidays and stuff.
Audio or whatever.
Fair enough. So it'll be the question of 2 weeks.
And remember, guys. So our Game of the Year was Mass Effect.
Sorry, actually, guys. If we had to go, we could do that. We could go down and rate the 10 in order of how we think they are and see which one ends up on top.
Oh, God.
Holy shit. Considering that all three of us have, like, different backgrounds, that we won't go around in circles. I mean, we were arguing about how we were going to format this show, like, all day.
Yeah, never.
Over
that's
email.
True.
It's like...
Well,
we need to start.
No. I'm not talking about doing that now. I'm talking about doing that offline and we can post
even
that.
Offline.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it would still take us. No, I mean, we're going to have to argue about it. You just rank your top 10 and then we'll figure out which one's the best.
Yeah, that's
which
true.
One gets the most points. Your number one game will get 10 points. The number two game will get 9 points.
I hear what you're saying.
Anyway, okay. So we're going to wrap up for this week. And so the question of 2 weeks now is, what did Santa bring you? So write in your responses to email at interactivedistractions.com. Also, if you have any comments about the show, if you want to tell us what you thought of the Game of the Year feature, let us know. And that's it. So this is Chris, and I got Jason and Jeff.
See you later, guys.
And we'll see you next week, and thanks for listening.
All right, take it easy.